you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
My cousin Tim doesn't have a butthole, and he can't eat fiber. My cousin Tim doesn't have a butthole, and he can't eat fiber. My cousin Tim doesn't have a butthole, and he can't eat fiber. My cousin Tim doesn't have a butthole, and he can't eat fiber. What's the atomic weight of mercury?
It is ridiculous, dude.
You know why the Armenians like pajama parties? Because they don't have to take off too much.
His performance was horrible. He wasn't funny at all. He was terrible. He should not be allowed back into the U.S.
And now.
Anyway, today is History Month.
Our feature presentation.
Post this up on your evening broadcast. Obama's mama was trash. Obama mama got pregnant with him out of wedlock. That's right. Okay. And Obama's mama was only 17 years old when she got knocked up by that African over there in Kenya. And the difference between Obama's mama and Bristol Palin is that Obama's mama was trash. I mean, she was dirt.
Okay, now here's...
What?
Here's the most awesome thing about the Honorable James David Manning, PhD, is that he's a minister of a church in New York City. And apparently a big Sarah Palin, John McCain supporter. So he's a little bit down on Obama and his mama, apparently.
I couldn't tell.
Let's hear some more.
She was a bag of trash sitting on the sidewalk waiting there in Honolulu on one of those streets for the garbage truck to come by and pick her up and take her to the dump. Mm-hmm. Rather than the garbage truck coming by, a man named Barack Obama Sr. from Kenya. He had children. I'm talking about Obama. You see that boy y'all talking about? Y'all want to be President Barack Hussein Obama? His daddy was a pathetic alcoholic.
I love this man so much. And when do they give him his own Fox News weekend show is the other question.
Yeah, no kidding.
Look, I got as much tape as you want, so you guys just tell me when you've heard enough. Are you still in?
I'm in.
Keep going till 10 o'clock.
All right.
Couldn't keep a job, knocking up women all over the Kenyan village of Africa. That's Obama's father. So now, listen, post this up. Now, we got to post this up. Got to get this up. Got to get this out. Because if they want to attack Sarah Palin and her daughter, Bristol, who is not trash. And listen, my mama told me back in the 50s and the 60s, the only kind of white woman that would take up with a black man back in the 50s and the 60s was a trashy white woman. The only kind of white woman that would take up with a black man in the 50s and the 60s was a sleazy, was a floozy, was a low-life, snail-eating white woman. That's the kind of woman that Obama's mama was. And that's what my mama told me. And if you don't like it, go tell my mama that you don't like it. But my mama told me, and my mama's mama told her, and all the mamas in the community of blacks saw those trashy white women hanging around on the outskirts of town called the Black Bottom, where the black men live, hanging around on the outside of skirts of town with their skirts jacked up and their breasts showing, hoping that some of these black men would take an interest in them. They were nothing but trash.
The ministry is called ATLA, A-T-L-A-H, ATLA Worldwide, All Jesus All the Time, it says on their website. And I think you can tell the man, the reverend here, has taken the principles of Jesus to heart.
Oh, he's definitely channeling Jesus. Are you kidding?
More?
I don't know if I can take any more, quite honestly.
Psycho Mike, you still in?
Oh, come on. Why even ask that? Of course.
Well, Obama's mama was nothing but trash. And she picked up with that African in heat, if you will, low-life, pathetic loser drunkard. And I made the statement that Obama was born trash. Well, let's just look at the equation.
All right.
His father, it is documented, was a pathetic loser, an alcoholic who couldn't hold a job, had two iron legs when he finally killed himself in an auto automobile accident. That's his daddy. That's what we got from the heritage of his daddy. His mama got knocked up by this low life, this low living, alcoholic, pathetic African who was already married to several other women back in Africa when she lay down with him.
I think his complaint is that he felt that the media was too harsh on Bristol Palin being 17 unmarried and pregnant. And he wants to know why there is an equal outrage for Barack Obama's mom, who's been dead for a really long time, why we're not dragging her through the mud.
Well, I believe Barack Obama himself defended Sarah Palin's daughter by pointing out that his mother also got pregnant at 17.
Yeah, apparently
so
it wasn't
I don't
covered
know where
widely
this
enough
attack for, is coming from.
For it's, Reverend Manning.
Yeah.
From Jesus.
Shortly, though, and we'll play a little bit more, but shortly he is going to basically challenge the mainstream media. If we're looking at Bristol Palin, if we're looking at Sarah Palin's daughter, what are we going to find out about your daughters? And I think it's going to get very interesting here very quickly.
Okay.
When she wallowed in the mire with him, when she laid in the hog path with him and got knocked up with him, she was trash. That doesn't mean that Sarah Palin is, nor that her daughter. There is a distinct difference, and it needs to be clear. Leave Bristol Palin alone. Otherwise, find out what your daughter's been doing. Yeah, let's find out what. John Roberts, you got a daughter? Hey, Wolf Blitzer, you got a Donna Brazil? Let's find out what y'all's homosexual children are doing. Hey, come on, let's find out what the children of these news reporters, Keith Olbermann, Chris Matthews, let's find out what your deranged drug dealing, Satan worship, homosexual, sodomizing children, what are your children doing?
Why do they have to be drug dealing and Satan worship?
Yes. Hey, you don't have to go that far. Let's just go to Dick Cheney, if that's a problem.
Yeah, that's right.
Right there in the White House.
Lesbian daughter. What about him?
Yeah, they're obviously trash.
What are they doing? Let's see if we can't get that up on the internet. Let's go to Facebook and see what are your young ones doing. Yeah. Why don't we do that? Since it's public nonsense, everybody's children a public property. Let's find out what your drug using, Satanist, homosexual, bestiality children are doing and what you are doing to them. Yeah, I think that's a great idea.
I do too.
McCain must be thrilled to have this guy on his side.
Anyway, he's my new favorite. I want to thank the K-Rock listener who tipped us off to him. And by the way, there's dozens of sermons up on the website. I mean, that's the first one that I saw, but there's plenty more from.
Oh, good.
When can we talk to him?
You know, Kevin is going to wet his pants. He loves the crazy preacher.
Oh, he's the best. The Honorable James David Manning, PhD.
Oh, good.
That one's called Manning's Fierce Prayer for Bristol Palin.
When can we talk to him?
A long time. I don't know. I don't know, but I think he needs to be a regular correspondent on the presidential election in the remaining 7 weeks. I'll tell you that.
100%.
He's my favorite.
Yes.
All right. Wednesday morning, it's the 17th of September.
Yeah!
Oh. Mm. Anna.
Oh, it's a good month right there.
Oh, yeah.
It is.
Got a good show for you today, too. Not only do we continue giving away tickets to see the sold-out Beck show at the Hollywood Bowl this weekend with Spoon and MGMT opening, but how about Beck himself stopping by the K-Rock studios here this
Absolutely.
Morning?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
He and his hair will be coming on by in the 9 o'clock hour. Looking forward to that. Psycho Mike, by the way, out on the street with the K-Rock microphones last night. I know we don't have tape today, but you'll tell us what happened when you went to the body shop to look for Nikita, who Megan Fox used to date.
Yeah, I sure did.
Yeah. Undercover reporting.
Looking forward to hearing about that. And also, we're going to be talking to some strippers today. We're going to need strippers in the 8 o'clock hour.
That's going to be tough, isn't it?
Well, I'm hoping, I mean, there have to be at least former strippers, right? Who
sure.
now have
regular jobs.
Regular jobs and have to be up. Because I know the strippers that were working at the body shop last night certainly aren't up.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to definitely need some insight from you on what it's like when you get pursued by your customers, the way Megan Fox pursued her young Russian stripper Nikita.
Okay,
because it happens to all women who have any kind of interfacing with the public. I mean, you're going to get hit on, but when you're a stripper, I think there's something going on there that makes the guy think he's got a chance with you because he's already seeing you naked. So the hard part's over,
right?
So
I think that's kind of their job a little bit to make you feel that way because then you get more dances and
I really spend some more cash. I've always felt bad for the guy that you run into at the strip club who doesn't get that and is convinced that these girls love him, that he's the man, and they're all his girlfriends. I always feel so bad for that dude.
The Megan Fox revelation, by the way, came from a new GQ magazine interview. The GQ is on newsstands today. We will have someone from the Kevin and Bean show in front of the newsstand as the truck pulls up to deliver it. We can't let 1 minute go by without us having that magazine in our hands. So that's happening on this morning's show.
All right.
We'll need some sort of police escort, some sort of motorcade to get the magazine from them to us, but we're definitely going to make it happen. There is a Jedi training academy that you can now go to. I don't know how they teach you to be a Jedi, as in the Star Wars movies, but we will find out more about that. Part of the Kevin and Bean, there's a trouble in the Kevin and Bean family a little bit with our sign holder, Nick.
Yeah,
he may be leaving the fold.
Yeah,
he may be taking off. And I know that
it's like a teenager when they grow up and they reject their parents.
They don't.
No, I'm gonna get high tonight, though. I'm gonna get very high tonight. I'm gonna get so f***ed up tonight. I'm like mother Tupac.
Sure. So he's in a state of mind to make some wise decisions. So we'll talk to him. And by the way, I'm not sure that we need to talk him out of that if he wants to go either. But we'll see what he's got to say.
Sometimes they gotta fly. You know,
he might be at the point where we need to part ways with him.
It may be. We may come to that today. Mm. So anyway, all of that and so much more, including Ralph with the Showbiz Beat. It is next right after this. On the Ralph Garman joins us in the studio for our first look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
You might have to pull back on the talking about Megan Fox a little bit, Bean.
Why? What's going on?
Because you're kind of ruining her for me.
What?
In what way?
Because you know when Bean
but you love her
fixates
too.
On a girl
yeah.
and starts talking about her, it just gets all creepy and kind of slimy and disgusting.
Yeah.
And he's doing that for me now for Megan Fox.
I don't want to do anything to her.
We
would be there when the magazine did 1 second. We cannot live without it. It's like, there's Bean with that Bean stuff again. It just ruins it. I'm not the only one. I got this email from Chris. This is a listener. Hey, Ralph, is it just me? Or when the subject of Megan Fox comes up, does anyone else get the vibe from Bean that he's currently sitting at his desk with an X-Acto knife, cutting words out of a stack of newspapers and pasting them onto stationery with latex gloves, composing a strongly worded love letter to Ms. Fox? Sure, to be fair, he's not the only one on the show with the obsession, but given what we know about Kevin, let's face it, he would get about 2 steps out his front door and forget exactly who it was he was stalking. Mike is just clearly overcompensating for his latent homosexuality, and your calendar is clearly full with obsessions with Adam West and Charlize Theron, so no worries there. But Bean, I don't know, man. I think it might be time to call the local post office up on the island and see just how many letters go out there each week to Ms. Fox and Zac Efron without a return address. I'm just saying, Chris. I think Chris has a point.
I did imagine Bean taking a picture of Megan Fox and trying to replicate her tattoos on his own body.
Yeah, I know.
Tucking his wiener in the mirror.
Exactly. Oh. Some sort of Silence of the Lambs thing.
I'm Megan Fox.
Put the lotion on its skin. You're just ruining her by all your... Bean.
I don't think
behavior.
I'm doing anything creepy with Megan.
Yeah,
though.
I know you don't.
Just kind of creepy.
I know you
when
don't
comes
think,
to women.
But you're tainting her.
I love her just as much as everyone else. That's all.
No, it's different.
By the way, megansafox.com is the website that Carrick listener Daniel tipped us off to.
That's apparently a good one. Is
the comprehensive clearinghouse for Megan Fox news since 2004. So anytime there's a Megan Fox story, apparently it goes right up onto this site. So it's a nice one to have. Well, it's my homepage, but
see, this is what I'm talking about.
That's my homepage.
You're just gonna get your Bean all over her.
I'm not at all.
Just gonna
I'd like
ruin
to,
her.
Believe me.
You're just gonna ruin her and stop it.
How are you gonna come at me like that?
No, I'm telling you to stop it. That's what I'm saying. All right, let's take a look at the showbiz news, shall we? Kim Kardashian is a big fan of the middle finger.
Glendale?
E! Online has photos of her and her sisters flipping off paparazzi while out to lunch the other day. By the way, she went to one of those restaurants where the paparazzi
camp out
in front of the restaurant.
And you're giving the paparazzi 100% exactly what they want when you flip them off. They get a much more interesting photograph that's worth more to them than if you were just walking in.
She defended herself at her blog, which you can find at stronglywordedass.com. No, it's kimkardashian.com. She says that she resorted to flipping the bird after becoming frustrated by photographers who were screaming at her and her sisters while they were trying to eat. Well, Chloe could easily go out and deal with the photographers and skip whatever lunch they were working on.
Sure.
Back off. Hey, you guys. Stop bothering me and my sisters.
her. She could just Hulk out and go along. It'd be great.
Good one, fatty.
Just burst out of her clothes. It would be cool. All right, Drew Barrymore. Apparently, I guess she could have a big future in motivational speaking. She is saying that, to anyone who will listen, that she found the key to life.
Really?
Yes. Believe in yourself, Lisa. Oh, what would we do without Drew?
Why did I not think of that?
She says, when you embrace your flaws, have as much fun as you can, and tell yourself, I can do this, everything in your life will work out.
No way.
What are you talking about? Yeah. Oh, that's tight.
Relationships, too?
Everything.
Because
that
doesn't seem to be happening so much.
Speaking of relationships, Benicio Del Toro and Steven Soderbergh apparently know how to have a good time. New York Post has a story that they were spotted at the Toronto Film Festival recently, spending lots of time with, exotic dancers while in town. There were reportedly more than a dozen strippers hanging out with Benicio and Steven Soderbergh at one moment, hanging around the two of them, pouring vodka into their mouths and getting lap dances.
Yeah.
And you guys say the ones in Canada are the hottest, right?
Top drawer.
Yeah.
Stripper quality up there, absolutely. And you can just do whatever and drink whatever while you're looking at them. It's just, no wonder people go to Canada. You know that whole Vietnam thing when guys were going to Canada? That's why they were going.
Strippers.
It wasn't a freaking war. Strippers.
I don't know why America is so far behind on relaxing some of those rules that are consenting adults that don't hurt or affect anybody else who's not there, who doesn't
that
choose to be there.
Puritan background, my friend.
Yeah.
Never going to escape it.
They're honked up when it comes to sex.
Yep.
Zac Efron. See what I mean with Creep?
What?
Creep. Measures his hair.
Shut up.
Huh?
I'm not kidding.
Oh my God, Zac Efron is so beautiful.
He is so specific about the length of his hair that he has both his girlfriend, Vanessa Hudgens, and his hairstylist measure it with a measuring tape after it's cut.
He's a fag.
Yeah.
Wow. You are flimsy to the nth degree, Mr. Efron.
I've got something to measure his hair with.
Oh.
Holy s***, it's Zac Efron.
God.
What?
Icky.
And what is that, Bean?
Yeah, what would that be?
Let's not say.
Remember Taylor Hicks from the American Idol TV show?
Sure,
he was the big winner. He won the whole thing. Beat out Catherine McPhee.
He's great. Is he gray hair?
He's the gray haired dude, yeah. Who was so great. He had to win, had to beat Catherine McPhee. He's the man. He was the guy. Well, now we know what he's up to. Just announced he will be starring as the teen angel in a new national touring production of Grease.
No.
Show opens at the Providence Performing Arts Center in Rhode Island in December.
No. Hotbed of.
Yeah. There you go. That's career launcher right there. Teen Angel is the role they cast you in when they need to sell some extra tickets by putting a minor celebrity in there.
Right.
Dude gets like one song and one scene, and then he goes back and starts drinking again. So
I don't remember Grease very well. What is the Teen Angel, and how can a 60-year-old man play a Teen Angel?
Teen Angel, that's a good question. It is a teen. It's like it's a fantasy sequence where the Teen Angel sings a song called Beauty School Dropout. About
okay,
this
I remember
girl
the song.
Who, it was going. Frankie Avalon did it in the movie. If you ever saw the movie Grease,
okay,
it's about a girl who's going to leave beauty school, and he tells her to stay in school. Basically,
what a good message.
It is a message.
Stay in beauty school.
So, and last night was the big event for Barack Obama, the big Hollywood event. $28,500 per person to attend a steak dinner with the candidate. 280 people did it.
Wow.
Leonardo DiCaprio, Jodie Foster, Tobey Maguire, Larry David, Jamie Lee Curtis, David Geffen, Steven Spielberg were all there. That's why Steven Spielberg wasn't at the premiere of Eagle Eye last night.
Oh, yeah.
He was busy spending thousands of dollars for a steak dinner. Yeah. I got a chance to see Eagle Eye last night, by the way. The premiere.
Oh, can't wait.
We'll talk more about that, my friends.
Okay.
Oh, we will. And then Barbara Streisand had a fundraiser as well.
Yeah, she shook off the mothballs and performed.
She did a little concert for him. That was just $2,500 a ticket if you wanted to see that.
Really?
Yes.
I would think it'd be the other way around, wouldn't you? That the steak would be $2,500 and seeing her would be $28,000? She never, ever performs anymore.
I guess it's considered more prestigious to actually sit down and have a meal
with him,
with Barack, than it is to sit in the concert hall with him.
Yeah.
But Quincy Jones, Jamie Foxx, Pierce Brosnan, a lot of stars turned out to see him as well. So apparently they raised a total of $10 million last night.
It's a good night.
One event raised $10 million for the candidate. Pretty impressive.
They haven't heard our pastor, I guess.
Yeah, not what yet, the pastor finds
how
out about
your
this,
kids? Man. What are your kids raising money for with your bestiality?
Now, Senator Obama has always been very good with raising money. I mean, that's one of the reasons he's doing as well as he is. But he did not accept any money from the government for his campaign.
Right.
So
right.
John McCain took the $84 million from the government. So Barack Obama's kind of starting from scratch. So he really has to be creative to come up with lots of ways to continue to stay competitive with the cash.
Yeah, and it's impressive if you can do it. In one night, $10 million. Why not? Sure. People willing to pay it? Hope that steak was good.
He keeps himself in pretty good company for raising money, Barack Obama.
Yeah, he surrounds himself
people
with some
show up at his events.
High-end celebrity cash, yeah. Which is pretty cool. Keeps himself pretty good shape, too, I think, too.
Yeah.
Barack. Plays basketball.
You ever seen him shirtless?
Mm.
I'd like to measure his hair with something. Whatever Bean said in his uniquely gay way.
It was... We're talking about my sweet Zach. You gotta cut me some slack.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Elvira.
Yeah.
Cassandra Peterson. 57 years old today.
Why are you laughing, Mike?
Amazing.
I can't think of her the same after the Tom Jones story.
That's right. After he split her like a pair of eights.
When she was in emergency surgery after sex with Tom Jones.
Yeah. Baz Luhrmann. You know Baz Luhrmann, director of Moulin Rouge and other feature films.
Mm-hmm.
If I could give Baz Luhrmann one piece of advice.
What would it be?
Wear sunscreen would be it. Remember that song he had?
Sure.
46 years old today. Director Brian Singer is 43. Kyle Chandler from Friday Night Lights turns 43 years old today. Is he dead?
In the hospital? He's just sweet.
Oh, you mentioned his name. Oh, he's got a cast. Matthew Settle from Gossip Girl. Oh, Gossip Girl. He's 39 years old today. And John Walker, bassist for Panic at the Disco, turns 23. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the...
Well, controversy in Britain, Lisa. I don't know if you've seen this latest story of political correctness, but the college is called Yorkshire Coast College in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
And they are no longer referring to the Christmas and Easter breaks in the school schedule as Christmas and Easter breaks because it might offend people who are of different faiths.
Oh, no kidding.
God forbid you call it Christmas and someone isn't a Christian and doesn't celebrate Christian and then they Christmas and then they get all offended. So, of course, there's an uproar there. So we thought, you know, rather than just assume where they're coming from, why not talk to somebody from the Yorkshire Coast College? And producer Alex has lined up for us the director of social awareness at the school, Professor Nigel Padgett. Is on the line with us right now. Good morning, Nigel. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
So tell us about the Yorkshire Coast College. I'm sorry to say I've not heard of that one.
We're a small liberal arts university in Yorkshire.
Mm-hmm.
And, yes, we've been getting quite a bit of attention since this story hit the major news services.
Yeah, I bet you have. I mean, isn't a Christmas break, whether you're of that faith or not, isn't it generally just understood that that's the time in late December where people celebrate that?
Well, I'm sorry, I beg to differ, but it's not Christmas break if you're a Muslim or a Jew. It simply isn't. It is an end-of-term break, of course, for you to be leaving. It is a vacation, but it's simply not a Christmas break for you. And so to be calling it such may be offensive to some people who believe... they don't share the Christian beliefs.
Now, did you have some people of other faiths who complained about Christmas and Easter, or is this just you assuming that they might be offended?
No, they haven't complained, but why take that risk? Why risk offending someone when you can easily make a few small changes and then prevent that from happening, which I think is the priority for us.
Do you have a lot of students who are of other faiths?
Oh, yes. We have quite a number of Muslim students, of course. We have a huge Islamic population in the UK, and so they are attending our university more and more so.
Right.
And so we have to take certain steps to make sure that they're not offended.
Well, I think what you've accomplished here, sir, is that you've offended the majority of people who are Christians who now are offended that you're not calling it Christmas and Easter.
Well, you know, I'll have you know, it's been going on in your United States for some time now in your public school systems. They often have the spring or winter break. The Christmas and Easter holiday has been eliminated from those schools, and we think it's a great idea. In fact, it's just one of several changes we're making at the university to make sure that the students of different ethnicities or religious backgrounds are not offended.
Okay. Other than Christmas and Easter, there's other things you're attacking as well?
Yes. For instance, in the classrooms themselves, teachers will no longer be able to write on a blackboard because we don't want the blacks to be offended.
Yeah, because why does the board got to be black?
Exactly. People get offended when you talk about the blackboard. Now it shall be known as the African board.
But it doesn't have anything to do with people's skin color. It's just black because that's easier to see chalk on.
Well, try saying that to the blacks because they get all uppity in your grill when you say something that they don't like. Next thing you know, you've got a shiv on your way out to the car in the parking lot. And I'm just not running that risk.
That seems way more offensive than using a blackboard to classroom.
Oh, right. My bad. They don't murder and rob.
Yeah. No, they don't murder and rob.
Sorry.
As a race.
Sorry.
No.
Forgot they don't murder and rob. Okay. Look, if you want to take your chance with an angry black man who's upset because you're calling something a blackboard, that's your business. But here at this school, I am erring on the side of caution.
Well, you are the director of social awareness, so exactly. I guess you would know better than I would, okay?
In the restrooms, both male and female, we'll no longer be featuring towels to be drying your hands. There will be those air dryers now. No more towels.
Why?
Now, is that for environmental reasons?
No, because we don't want to offend the towel heads.
Well,
you know, they'll be all up in arms. Oh, no. Why has it got to be a towel? Why can't it be a shroud of Turin to dry your hands on? And then they're all upset, and then I've got lawsuits, and frankly, I don't need this BS.
But it's just a towel. It's just a towel you use to dry your hands. It doesn't have anything to do with anyone's religion or the way they dress.
So you wrap it around your head and strap some C4 to your chest. Then it's a whole different story, isn't it? College is just blown to pieces, and I've just got rubble all around me. No, thank you indeed.
Okay.
And lastly, we're no longer calling them dirty Jews.
What?
Well, then why were you even calling them that?
Well, I just don't like them.
Right, but you can't. Of course you're not calling them that. That would be offensive and wrong.
Right, so I'm all good now. Okay, everyone, get out of my ass.
You guys even remember so far back on how empty our lives were before Harvey Levin and TMZ.com?
How did we
live?
I am not kidding, but TMZ has changed the cultural landscape of America.
Yeah.
I sincerely believe it has. The focusing on celebrities in their everyday lives, documenting every moment of every celebrity's life, is something we never used to do before Harvey Levin came along.
That is true.
Yes.
They
have caused, how I feel about that.
God bless him.
They've caused more than their share of misery, I'll tell you that. Thank God we're not celebrities, because I think we'd feel a lot differently about TMZ.com if we were. Harvey Levin, managing editor of the TV show and the website TMZ.com, joins us back on the world-famous K-Rock. Hey, Harv.
Wow.
Hi, Harvey.
Hi, guys. I'm not sure.
What?
Come on.
It's true. TMZ has changed the way we look at celebrities.
We're at clubs and restaurants.
And airports.
And airports.
Yeah, you certainly were all over the Kanye story, that's for sure. You were the right place at the right time for that one, huh?
Well, we were just at the airport. I mean, that was bizarre.
All right, we got a couple things we want to talk to you about, but I have to first give you mad props for the piece you did, and I have the audio that I'm going to play in a moment. Tell people who didn't see TMZ yesterday about the Heidi and Spencer birthday photo op.
I don't know quite how to describe it. I mean, I have to tell you, he is a really good marketer, because this is everything they do is so staged, but it's kind of working because everybody is calling them douchebags and they're making a fortune off of it. And so they stage this ridiculous birthday for Heidi in Will Rogers Park with champagne. She's wearing a tiara. I mean, it's just so painfully staged that, you know, if you just look at it on a level like, are we really supposed to believe this? It's painful. So we decided to issue warnings to viewers.
And now Heidi and Spencer celebrate Heidi's 22nd birthday staged at Will Rogers Skate Park. Warning, this video may cause nausea, heart palpitations, anal leakage, temporary blindness, permanent blindness, nervous tics, paralysis, liver damage, Addison's disease, Crohn's disease, Lou Gehrig's disease, spontaneous bleeding, death, and permanent hair loss.
Oh my gosh.
Ask your doctor.
Now, how does something like that work, Harvey? Do they actually send out a press release and says, hey, we're having a birthday party at the park, please come on down and photograph it?
Well, they actually, that's they have a deal with an agency where they shoot a lot of their stuff. And then the agency calls up and says, do you want this? So usually we say no if it's just this stage thing. And then we had the idea, we can have fun with this video.
Right.
So we decided to do it.
I got the anal leakage. I know that.
I know that I'm part of the problem because I'm one of the millions who really does watch The Hills on Monday nights on MTV. I know that I'm contributing to their celebrity, and I feel bad enough about that. But why do you and the other sites and TV shows, why do we cover them as if they matter, Harvey?
Well, I don't know we cover them like they matter. I mean, we're not doing foreign policy on the show. I mean, they're entertaining. I mean, listen, for whatever reason, they connect. I mean, why does Kim Kardashian connect with a lot of people? I mean, it's a whole level. That's what's really new, is that there's just this whole new level of people who have, like, struggled to become famous. And everybody has disdain and interest at the same time. So you're looking at, you know, people kind of shamelessly going out to clubs, promoting themselves, you know, doing things like what Heidi and Spencer do, getting these shows because they can be entertaining on these shows even though people don't believe any of it. And then all of a sudden, they become famous. And it's this weird thing. But when you think about it, I mean, Heidi is selling, I think, better than J-Lo, you know, just in terms of clothes and everything else. So it's really bizarre, but they're the ones that are on the covers of magazines now.
Yeah, yeah.
True.
You're right.
It's a phenomenon. Right.
And you did a piece on the TV show last night, too, about Shauna Sands, who's famous for nothing, as far as I know.
That's a great story.
Yeah, she literally leaves the house, dresses up, as you said, in the hooker outfit, goes out, gets her picture taken, and turns around and goes back home. She's not even going anywhere. She's just getting out to get her picture taken, right?
And we didn't even know this until we just kind of innocently said, who's watching the kids? And so she says, well, Lorenzo normally, when I go out, Lorenzo is normally watching them, but tonight I kind of needed to go out, and so I had a neighbor watch the kids. So I'm now thinking, wait a minute, what do you mean you needed to go out? And so we started looking at the tape, and she had gone to two clubs. She got to Foxtail, and she went to One Sunset. She doesn't drink. She was there for, like, less than an hour. So we're looking, and we're thinking, why did she need to go out? And then you kind of look at the tape more, and you realize she dressed up like a hooker, stood in front of the cameras, went to two places, did that, went home. So it's almost like at midnight, I just got to get on TV tomorrow. And guess what? And how stupid we are? We put her on.
Sure.
Of course.
You guys have kind of made her a minor celebrity again by focusing on how insane she is and how ridiculous she is. It's hysterical.
I mean, look, we cover celebrities who are entertaining. We're not covering entertainment. And to me, the biggest travesty of what we've done is Von Ahol apparently has a reality show.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
No.
And who knew we were going to, you know, I apologize.
All right. Accepted.
All right, let's talk about the biggest story in the world ahead of you getting into your meeting this morning, Harvey, and that is our little friend Megan Fox, who I know you listen to the show from time to time. You know we're fond of her, right? You know that we enjoy Megan Fox and all that she brings to the world.
Salivate. I mean, that bell rings like...
Yeah, sure does.
So the GQ article that comes out in newsstands in Los Angeles in about 32 minutes, and Dave will be there to buy us the first copy and drive it back to the radio station. She talks about this this brief two-week affair, I guess it was, when she first moved to Los Angeles 4 years ago with a stripper named Nikita, or that was her stage name anyway. I expect TMZ.com to have the resources to track down Nikita and find out what else we don't know about that relationship.
Oh, God, what a shock that you would say this to me. I mean, this is, like, so your story. When I read it, I thought about you guys, and I thought there could be no better story for you guys. I mean, you know, the economy could be crashing. There could be all of these huge problems in the world, and I don't think you guys would know it.
Well, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Once Megan Fox starts making out with a stripper, the whole world gets better, Harvey.
I swear to you, as soon as we saw it, I really did think of you guys. I thought this is the sweet spot for Kevin and Bean.
Yes, we couldn't be any happier about it, but we need to find Nikita, and that's where I think you guys come in. I think you have the investigative tools.
Nikita.
We want you to find Nikita.
You're not looking?
Maybe she's got photos or something of her and Megan Fox from 4 years ago. Harvey, that would be something that I think you would be into also.
Come on, we're
being serious.
We're not kidding. You should use your power to find this Nikita so we can see what this girl looked like. Come on, that'd be a great story.
I thought I thought there were pictures of her. I thought there
was. Not that
pictures.
We know of. Not that we've seen. No, the first we ever heard about her was when the initial story came out about this GQ article that's on newsstands today.
Right.
And there's no photos that we know. And we had a long. We spent a lot of time on this story yesterday, Harvey. And Ralph pointed out that Nikita, Ralph pointed out that Nikita has been in the last few years a very very common stripper name. And we have listeners who called us who knew Nikita strippers, but there could be 100 of them out there for all we know. You need to find the right one.
Okay, you know, I mean, I can't get past the fact that they named her Nikita.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys are probably too young to even remember. What? Khrushchev?
Khrushchev, sure.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's who it is. It was Nikita Khrushchev.
That's sure. Right. But I was thinking LaFemme Nikita.
Why do they do that?
Probably LaFemme Nikita from the movie, I'm guessing.
Well, maybe, but I'm not whatever.
It has become a hot Russian stripper name.
Just find her, Harvey.
Did you guys see her on the show? I mean, we got her at Rock Sugar in Century City with Brian Austin Green. Did you see her?
Yes.
I don't know if I did.
She really is just unbelievable. Yeah, I mean,
she's luminous.
The people in the newsroom, everybody was just kind of talking, and they kind of think she's, you know, if they had to vote between her and Angelina Jolie, everybody in the, like, people in the office are just saying her.
Well,
they really are.
I think because she's newer, too, it's sort of more exciting and younger. I think she's got an energy about her. We were kind of used to Angelina at this point, I guess.
I mean, how about Brian Austin Green?
Oh,
yeah.
What's he doing,
I don't
get
that.
What kind of deal with the devil did he make? Seriously.
But like one after another.
Yeah. Yeah, well, this is it. I mean, he needs to hang on to this one with both hands for as long as he can.
You need to find out who Nikita is. We need to find her. And you also have to find out what is a mountain ox that she wants to strangle with her bare hands. I don't know what that is either.
Yes, folks.
All right, get to work.
All right,
we're
giving you homework. Seriously, okay, don't let us talk to you next week and you say, oh, guys, I didn't have time to follow up on the Megan Fox story. Make it so, Harvey.
You've sufficiently scared me.
All right.
All right, TMZ Television, 6:30 weeknights on Channel 11. It is a must-see program each and every night in my home and, of course, TMZ.com round the clock. Harvey Levin, thanks for joining us today, dude.
Bye.
6:38 on the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 106.7 KROQ. Beck on the program later on today, and I think it's tomorrow. We're supposed to talk to the woman who was in the Mini Me sex video.
Oh wow!
I think that's going to be tomorrow. We got a lot of questions for her. Like,
no kidding.
Why?
What the hell?
All of that coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show, and of course, more chances for you to win your own Xbox 360 and the Rock Band 2 Special Edition. That'll be next hour here on K-Rock. How about the Afro Line, 323-520-AFRO, 24 hours a day. That's our answer machine. You call us, leave a message, especially if you have something important to say, like a midget alert.
A midget on a motorcycle. A midget on a motorcycle. I swear to you, I just saw a midget on a motorcycle in Riverside on Van Buren Boulevard. A midget on a freaking motorcycle.
I've never seen that.
I don't
honestly
think I have either.
I don't think it's legal.
Why? Oh, really? You don't think so? I mean, it seems like they could adjust the machinery like they do for a car so that someone could drive it, right?
I don't know.
Yeah. I hope it's a big old Harley. Massive. Not like a moped.
Those big handlebars.
Yeah. A chopper. Yeah. He's standing on the seat holding those handlebars.
I would be a little more impressed if instead of just spotting one, you would capture one. I mean, it seems like what's the point of seeing one if you're not going to make an honest attempt to get it in a net or something? You know what I mean? You can't just let it drive on by.
Right.
You got to catch it. Do your part. All right, I'm not exactly sure what kind of old school hip hop reference we've got going on here, but apparently the Ghetto Birds are coming.
Well done, Bean.
How far back does that one go, Mike?
I'm saying 96. I remember that one. Good middle of the West Side Connection record. Ice Cube's Predator, maybe even a little earlier.
I don't remember making this call, but apparently I, Bean, picked up the phone and dialed up the Afro Line yesterday.
Never quite got to
down.
The point.
No, I guess that's about normal, though. Here's a fan of Lisa May.
Hey, Lisa, heard your traffic report. Someone dropped a muffler on the road. You got me thinking. Girl, you gotta call me back. Dirty muffler. Oh, that was awesome. We gotta do it again. Give me a call. See you, bye.
Don't think it didn't cross my mind when I said it, too.
Dirty muffler does sound like an outstanding euphemism for something,
does.
Doesn't it?
Yes.
Thank you for calling the Afro Line. Anytime you have a Megan Fox update.
Damn, do you know about Megan Fox? She's hot. I want to do her now. Megan Fox. I want to do her so bad. I want to just...
All right.
He certainly makes it sexy. Another caller for Lisa May.
Hey, Lisa.
Sime, I agree with you. The Megan Fox segment sucks. I think it sucks. Not. See what I did there?
Very clever.
Yeah, when you start doing something 6 months after Dave starts it, that does make you cool. That's true. And if you can believe it, yet another Megan Fox update.
Hey, Kevin and Ben. I'm on the set at Warner Brothers. I just saw Brian Austin Green. I looked at him, and I'm sure he's looked at Megan Fox naked. So it's kind of like I just looked at her naked.
Totally, hey, right?
Congratulations, man. And if I shake your hand, then I've looked at her naked, too. That's fantastic. Here's a listener who seems to be confused by something as basic as too many cars, too few roads.
Okay, so I'm sitting in traffic coming from LA, and it's about 7:20. I just don't get all the traffic. Traffic sucks. I wish I had a gun so I could kill everyone. Traffic sucks. I hate traffic.
See, that's funny. Most people love it.
Most people do enjoy it, and most people understand why we have so much. But it's funny how many calls we get from people who are in traffic for a long period of time and are out of friends to call. So they are desperate to do anything while they're sitting there waiting, so they just call the Afro Line.
Sir.
We're like their last resort. I was saying on Monday when we came back after the weekend that I had spent the weekend with a new Metallica CD that came out on Friday, and that it pretty much melts your face. And I think a K-Rock listener decided to test my theory.
I'm going to put in the new Metallica CD. Relax.
Well, I mean, I warned you that was a possible hazard of listening to the Metallica CD. In fact, you can't really listen to the whole thing. You have to parcel it out two or three songs at a time. Otherwise, it just gets too hot in there. You can't do it. And finally, 323-520-AFRO. Call the Afro Line anytime. Here's a reminder that it's a very special time of year. Don't forget what holiday this Friday is.
Party people. Sure. International Talk Like a Pirate Day will be coming up, and you know what that means, don't you? That's right. Pirate jokes. Like, what do you call a pirate woman with one arm and one leg? Right. Arlene. Arr.
Oh, God.
Wow.
Yep.
That's that time of year, all right.
Glendale. It's K-Rock 106.7 KRQ. Am I losing enthusiasm for the Glendale?
No. It sounds great. Very robust.
I'm still selling it? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What's up with the Jedi Knight Training Academy? We'll tell you coming up after 7 o'clock this morning. Also, a member of the Kevin and Bean family may be defecting from the show, and we haven't decided yet whether we're going to try to stop it or not. We'll make that phone call coming up in the 7 o'clock hour as well. Right now, 6:53, Ralph joins us in studio for a look at the K-Rock Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
You know, people always say that violent movies and stuff can make you violent.
Yeah. Sure.
And there was there's always an argument about that, whether violent content in video games and films actually makes people more violent or not.
Yeah, every once in a while there'll be a guy who'll go on a killing spree, and then they'll say, well, it's because he rented natural born killers over the weekend. But then there's, 5 million other people who see the stuff who never heard a fly.
Yep. But if you're concerned about what your kids watch on television and you think maybe they two are connected, there may be a new study that validates your concerns. The Journal for Experimental Psychology, which sounds effing shaky, by the way, did a study, and they said, in fact, people tend to act in similar ways as the characters in TV shows and movies that they watch. They went to Brigham Young University. By the way, when you're tested on the Mormons, though, you never know what you're going to get.
I know.
Because they're all
hot. Excuse everything.
They asked 53 college-aged women.
Ooh.
Sounds like a dream I had once.
Yeah.
To watch a violent scene from Kill Bill. Okay.
Okay.
And then some girls were shown a montage from Mean Girls. And then a third group watched an aggression-free seance scene from What Lies Beneath with Michelle Pfeiffer. It's a horrible movie, by the way. Poor people in the third group. Anyway, they had these women watch these scenes, and then in the experiment, they planted a rude researcher to interact with the college students, okay, to push their buttons a bit and see how they reacted. The women who had seen a clip from Kill Bill and from Mean Girls all reacted with aggression towards the rude researcher. The group of girls that saw the nonviolent movie clip
did not react in that way towards the rude person.
Interesting.
So they said it's possible that, you know, given predisposition to that kind of thing, there could be some connection between violence and aggression in film and television and relational aggression, how people interact with each other.
So what's the message? What should we be taking away from this research?
Everyone should watch What Lies Beneath.
Because they won't do anything.
Brought to you by Fox
that.
On DVD. No, I have no idea. But I'm just saying, I guess, you know, there is some correlation. So keep it in mind when your kids are watching Deathbed, the bed that eats. That may be, you know, something to
not
going
so
on.
Good.
Hey, look how Psycho Mike turned out after watching Deathbed.
See, that's what I'm talking about. Did Jennifer Garner pump up her lips? That's just too easy.
Listen, man.
Yes, Gene Simmons. Gene Simmons.
Speaking of pumping lips.
Yeah. Picks in this week's Star Magazine show the mom-to-be with a much more pouty upper lip than she had previously.
She had pouty lips to begin
yes,
with.
Yes, but now they're even poutier.
Wow.
Oh.
A doctor looking at the photos says it's probably safe to assume that she's had Restylane injections in that lip to give it a little bit more fullness. I can't believe I just did that as a news story. There you go. Hey, she's got a fuller lip.
How about fewer babies and more being hot on my TV and movie screen, Jennifer Garner?
Yeah, she is a full-time mom these days.
Yeah.
But she sure is hot.
Yeah, still looks great.
I miss her.
I miss her, too. She's a good actress. Mm-hmm. Another hot mom, Angelina Jolie, apparently is punishing everyone while she tries to lose her baby weight. According to Star Magazine, the actress has banned all junk food from her house while she tries to lose weight and get back into shape. Well, that's just screwed.
With all those kids.
Yeah. Why do you have to suffer? And little Maddox can't get a Twinkie. Have a heart. They don't even have Twinkies wherever he's from.
That's true.
Wherever that freaking country is. It's not a lot of Twinkies there. I forget. I forget the derivation of each of those 27 children. So I can't mix and match them
by memory either. Yeah.
Jack Black's got a new nickname.
Yeah.
Bear. Apparently his little son Samuel has given it to him because he's got a big beard now. Mm-hmm. And he said, Daddy, you look like a bear, and now everyone calls him Bear. So next time you see Jack Black, just scream, Bear! And see what happens. Can't believe I just did that as a news day.
You're on fire.
Slow news day. Slow showbiz news day. Sorry to tell you. But Paul McCartney, this is an interesting story. Will be heavily guarded by Israeli Secret Service when he does a concert in Tel Aviv on September the 25th. Not even close.
Is this the one, there were some threats against him performing? Somebody was peeved that he was going to be doing a concert there or something?
Well, Bean, sit back, relax, and enjoy the rest of my story as I talk about what's happening with Paul McCartney in Israel. Paul has decided to take place in Israel's 60th anniversary celebrations. He's going to do a show for them. And he has been under threats because of it. He was asked by several Muslim factions to cancel his appearance. Paul said, I refused. I do what I think, and I have many friends who support Israel. Muslim extremists say Paul is an enemy of all Muslims and has been targeted for death.
Oh, wow.
Expletive Jews.
Apparently, they say he has always been supportive of Israel, as given by their interpretation of his song, Hey Jew.
Well, there's a misunderstanding right there.
I think it's just a misunderstanding. They misheard the title, of course, is Hey Jude, and they got confused.
What about our Jewish friends out there?
So let's call the fatwa off. What do you say, kids? He's Paul McCartney.
Yeah.
You know, I can see why they think he's an enemy of all Muslims with all that peace and love crap that he promoted for all those years.
All the hate.
Him with all his love and peace and togetherness, and all you need is love and come together and let's all just be nice. I can see why they would treat him like an enemy.
You'd be shocked, though, behind closed doors.
Ooh. Just a bastard.
Yeah, just a hothead.
Just a hot-headed bastard. Today's celebrity birthdays, John Walker. He's the bassist of Panic at the Disco. Turns 23 years old today. Kyle Chandler from Friday Night Lights. The coach, he's 43. Bryan Singer. Director is also 43. Another director, Baz Luhrmann, who gave us Moulin Rouge, Romeo and Juliet.
How great does Australia look coming out this holiday season?
Yeah, with Nicole Kidman and Hugh Jackman. Looks terrific. He is 46 years old today. Doug E. Fresh is 42. Doug E. Fresh, by the way, one of the great rapper names ever.
Yep.
And another rapper has a birthday today, one of the worst rapper names ever. From Naughty by Nature, Vinny.
Really? Rapper Vinny celebrates his 38th birthday today. Worst rapper name ever, by the way.
Vinny struggled. Tretch really outshined him as the...
Tretch?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was the head of Naughty by Nature.
No, Tretch is a cooler name, just saying. Vinny, if you're a rapper, Vinny... Vinny's a guy who owns a deli or something. Yeah. It's not a rapper. Yeah. It's bad. It's no like Dougie being, Fresh.
It's like being Steve or something. Yeah. You're not going to get any rap credibility.
MC Bill.
I wonder what Vinny's up to today.
I don't know. Let's see if we can get him on the phone. Vinny, if you're listening, call in, won't you? What the hell are you...
I'm just, you know.
Oh, I don't know.
Okay, good point.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the...
All right, let's go to Dave, the King of Mexico. He's out on the street in the K-Rock van right now, heading to a newsstand in Hollywood to get the GQ issue with Megan Fox on the cover. Hey, Dave.
Hey, Bean, what's up?
Where's my magazine?
Dude, I'm scouring the farmer's market right now looking for it. So I'm going to hit up these couple of newsstands right here, and then I'll bring it back to you, man.
Now, producer Alex made it sound like she called yesterday, and they told her that the truck would be arriving to deliver that issue at 7 o'clock this morning. Dave, I hate to complain, but it's 7:09. You still don't have it?
Nope, not yet, but I'm going to get it, man. I'm on a mission.
I don't believe him.
I can't wait, Dave.
I don't
Dave.
Hear the...
What?
The urgency? You don't hear the urgency
in
Dave's
voice?
Yeah,
I don't hear the urgency in his voice.
Hurry, Dave, hurry.
I'm running, man.
Bean's going to explode if you don't get that right away.
Well, I'm going to explode either way, just thinking about it. Yeah, exactly. All right, Dave. Thank you very much. Give us the update the minute you hear anything. As soon as you have the magazine in hand, I want you to break into a song or whatever it takes on K-Rock and tell us about it, okay?
All right.
Okay. Send Dave
break into a song. I can,
man's
I,
job. I'm just saying. We need Mike, you're with me. We need this issue,
listen,
right? We need it now.
I don't understand. I would have gone right to the GQ like printing press and got it last night if you wanted me to. But
yeah, why wait for it to be delivered to a newsstand? Exactly. I agree.
It was very entertaining.
What?
It was very entertaining. Let's spend more radio time talking about things Dave doesn't have.
Roland, we're talking about, even you can appreciate the beauty that is Megan Fox.
Let's talk about buying magazines at fruit markets. let's go buy a magazine at a farmer's market and get some radishes while you're at it. Who goes to a farmer's market to get a magazine?
I think there's a 24-hour newsstand there. I think that's the point. I think that's why he chose that location.
Why,
but look,
why do you continue to abuse the public's trust by talking about horrible things on your radio show instead of important things?
Megan Fox starred in Transformers. How can you not be down with that?
I appreciate Miss Megan Fox and her work, but
thank
there are
you.
More important things going on in the world that you guys are ignoring, and I think someone needs to draw your attention to it.
Okay, like what now? Like, what are we missing now on the Kevin and Bean Show?
Like, they are offering a course in being a Jedi!
All right. Now, I did hear about this. It's in Ireland or someplace.
Yes.
And Queen's University in Ireland, it's a Jedi Knight course.
Yes, it is, and I've already matriculated.
Do you need a towel?
How dare you, sir. I will wield my lightsaber in your direction, sir.
That was kind of what I was referring to. Yeah, that's how you matriculate it. Listen, what can they possibly teach you in a Jedi Knight course? Because the Jedis, if you're not aware, Roland, are not real.
They're real!
They're made up for the George Lucas movies.
Wrong!
But there's no such thing as a real Jedi or a real lightsaber or a real force.
Well, then how can they teach it at the Queen's University in Belfast, Ireland, I ask you, sir?
Well, that's what I don't understand about it. Like, what is the what goes on in the course?
The course is called Feel the Force, How to Train in the Jedi Way, and it teaches real-life psychological techniques behind Jedi mind tricks.
Really?
Oh, they're just taking advantage of the retarded by getting them to sign up for this course.
I already have my flight scheduled to Belfast. I will be attending the university this winter. I have a legal passport, by the way, for my trip.
Well, you're ahead of me then, I guess.
And I will be attending this, and I'm already learning how to do the Jedi mind tricks. These are not the droids you're looking for. See?
Well, see, that was very believable because I now don't think that they were the droids that I was looking for.
So you will take your top off.
Yeah. That might take a while to work on me.
But they have all kinds of courses. I'm gonna take an entire year of Star Wars courses.
You're kidding. You're going to basically move to Ireland for a year and just study Star Wars.
Yeah, I've got the course catalog here, and this is the Field of Force, the How to Drain the Jedi Way is just one of the courses they're offering.
What else?
Okay.
I'm also signed up for Advanced Binkery, where they teach you how to be like Jar Jar Binks.
Oh, I don't know that that's a popular class.
Me like a much a good like a good Jar Jar.
Talk like that a lot.
Okay. Great.
Yoda 101.
Okay, what goes on there?
Talk like this, you do learn how.
Okay, that seems like a good use of your time and money.
I'll be spending, I've got a class in Wookiee Studies.
Wookiee Studies?
Yes.
Like what?
How to learn a better lifestyle through being a Wookiee.
Okay. I don't know how that helps you, but all right.
It means you have to grow a lot of body hair and ignore personal hygiene.
Okay.
Which is all something right. I've already got down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got a head start.
Intro to Leia. It's a bunch of us we just look at Carrie Fisher in that gold bikini outfit.
Okay, that sounds like a good course.
Sure. That's a good one. Calrissian Theory.
All right.
That's learning how to live a better life by following the teachings of Lando Calrissian.
Okay.
It's done in a laboratory, involves malt liquor and Jerry Curl.
I was afraid of that.
Fedology. I'll be taking Fedology.
What is that?
What's Fedology?
That is the study of Boba Fett.
Okay.
And they teach you how to polish your helmet.
Oh. It sounds like you already know how to do that, Roland.
Applied Ewok, of course, the cuisine of Tatooine.
I'll
be spending a full year in Ireland, so you may not hear from me anytime soon because I will be deep, deep, deep in Star Wars studies.
Yeah.
Okay, but you'll be able to communicate with us telepathically like they do, right?
This is not the geek you knew in high school. Did it work?
It's still
you,
Roland.
You might need to study some more.
I will lose my virginity.
Did it work?
You're going to dream
no,
big.
No, that didn't work either.
Be on the lookout for Megan Fox.
And now, Megan Fox Watch 2008.
Dave? Dave?
Hello, Dave.
Dave?
What do you want?
Do you have it?
You know, there's sometimes where you like working at K-Rock because you get things in advance.
Mm-hmm.
They opened up the shop just to give it to me.
Yeah!
No kidding!
All right!
That's so nice.
I love my man Walter at the newsstand at Farmer's Market. He's the man.
Now I'm confused because I thought it was a 24-hour newsstand. I thought that's why we scoped out that particular place. But you're saying they're not even open yet and you still have it.
Open.
All right, Dave, in excruciating detail, describe the cover picture to me, please.
Megan Fox. Licking her luscious lips.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Using her deep blue eyes to stare at you. Wow, in a bikini. Black
that sounds
bikini.
Good. That
oh
sounds so
good. Oh, my
Dave,
God.
Dave, you're not driving. You're not driving while you're looking at this, are you?
Oh, God, no. I'm taking my time, buddy.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll see you tomorrow at work. I'm going to come back.
What page does the article begin on in the new GQ?
256.
Okay, and how many pages are there in the spread?
About four, actually. Yeah, four pages.
Okay, describe them for us, please, Dave.
One has text, and then there's a nice photo of her getting out of a swimming pool.
Oh, okay.
Wearing a white bikini. She's all red.
Oh, yeah?
Wow.
Oh, dude, the water just dripping. Uh-oh. I can see nipple.
What? No, you can't. No, you cannot see nipple.
Oh, she's wearing a white bikini. You know what that means.
Oh, wait. No, the moisture has rendered that white bikini see-through.
Okay, that sounds good. How many pictures are there in total, would you say, Dave?
Only two.
That's it?
Three. Oh, my God. I didn't see that one with the ice.
Ice?
Ice.
What's going on with the ice?
She's kind of has it in her mouth, but oh, no.
Yeah, but what about the ice?
It's melting on her lips.
Oh.
Yeah.
Of course, we knew this GQ was on the way today because of the because of the press release that we saw yesterday about how she fell in love with the stripper Nikita,
mm-hmm.
and she talked a little bit about that. Have you had a chance to check out more of the article and seen if there are any more details either about that or anything else that the little minx did in her
how
early
years?
How can
you expect me to read when she's sucking on cherries?
There's cherries. I thought there was
now.
Just ice.
Cherries.
Okay.
Sucking on cherries in a black bikini.
Why aren't you driving
Long
while you're talking to us
air.
So that you can get this magazine to us faster? How long will it take you to get back to K-Rock?
2 days.
Dave was not the man to send on this mission.
Probably
not. He's not reliable.
Later.
Dave, ride like the wind, my friend. We need it. Look, it's great to have you there and know that
you're
having...
Oh, you know what? My car broke down. I'm sorry.
It's amazing. Dave claims he can get to Vegas in 2 hours, but he can't get from here to the farmer's market.
The farmer's market, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
On your way back, Dave, there's a... Listen to me. There's a 7-Eleven on your way back on Fairfax. Make sure you stop and pick up a like a massive jug of Lubriderm.
Ew. No.
Yeah. Ooh, indeed. Wow, did this turn ugly. Thanks,
I'm just
Mike.
Saying.
Thanks for nothing. All right, Dave, yeah. Ride like the wind. Get the GQ issue back to us as soon as possible. Good work, my friend.
All right, man.
See you soon.
Be on the lookout for Megan Fox.
And now, Megan Fox Watch 2008.
7:35 on the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 106.7 KROQ. Where the hell is Dave? What? Is he a Mexican or
Stop
is he a Mexican?
Being
Where
creepy.
Is he?
Stop
Why
being creepy.
Is he back?
Don't ruin Megan Fox with your beanness.
Look, I've seen the pictures on GQ.com, but it's not the same as having the magazine in one hand. You know what I'm talking about? Where's Dave?
We don't even want to picture that, to be honest.
Okay. Beck on the show later on this morning. Stick around for that. First, though, we got a little bit of trouble in the Kevin and Bean family.
It What's looks the like... matter, Bean?
Well, yes, you are correct, Ralph. It is our old friend, the window licker Nick, who you remember from this moment.
No, I'm going to get high tonight, though. I'm going to get very high tonight. I'm going to get so f***ed up tonight. I'm like, mother Tupac.
I got a very disturbing email from Nick while I was gone on vacation what? Suggesting that he may be tired of the Kevin and Bean
what?
Show. He's not sure he wants to be on anymore.
Oh.
So I don't know what's... I mean, I don't know how you
that's
quit a family.
That's not necessarily true. Bean, that's not necessarily true.
That's what you wrote to me, Nick.
I was feeling frustrated at the time.
Do you have the email, Bean? Can you read a little something from it?
I don't have that one. I have several since then as we've been going back and forth. But what was going on that day that you wrote to me? I'm not exaggerating. You wrote to me and said you didn't think you wanted to be on the show anymore, right, Nick?
Well, I've just been feeling frustrated because, you know, I really wanted you guys to like my screenplay more than you did. I just wasn't feeling the love and, you know, just... I feel frustrated about it. You know?
So if you don't get the answers, if you don't get the answers you want about something, you just walk away. You just say, forget it.
Not true. I'm talking to you guys right now. You know.
If you just want to pat, ooh, that's a great answer. You know, when you show us your screenplay, then we're not really very helpful.
I don't know. It's just, I don't know. It's,
don't you want to make it good?
I think it is good. I like it a lot. I'm really
then why do you
it.
Ask anyone, Nick? You don't really want the answer.
Maybe I just wanted you guys to like it. Not necessarily. I just wanted you guys to like it. That's kind of disappointing.
Nick, let me tell you something. As someone who works, you know, for Kevin and Bean and with Ralph and Lisa, I thought they were pretty nice, considering how brutal they can be. And I know firsthand they can be incredibly critical and knock you down very hard and make you want to die. And I thought they were pretty nice, considering you know how verbose you were with your script.
Probably yeah. right, Mike. Probably right.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, I still think it's great. It's my pride and joy.
What are you going to do if you sell a screenplay someday, Nick, and the producer says, no, we don't like this, we want to change that, or the director wants to change big chunks of it, whatever, you're just going to pout and say, well, you can't make my movie then?
Well, actually, here's the thing. I'm actually thinking instead of like a movie at first, I'd like it to be like a graphic novel. It's very visual, and it's got, you know, a lot of special effects kind of stuff. I figure, like, if I make it into a graphic novel, that'd be like a smarter idea. I actually met with a graphic artist last week. But Nick,
you're getting ahead of yourself here. The first step should be trying to find anyone who's not in your family that will read the whole thing. I mean, that should be a warning flag right there that maybe your ambitions are too high for this particular script.
Well, I finished it, and I have it.
Right, but
no one
else can finish it. What I'm saying is if you have a piece of material that no one can read all of because it's so dense and so bad, then maybe you need to kind of go back to the drawing board a little bit on this particular project rather than say, this script is going to stay the way it is, and now the next step is to get it made into a book or a movie.
Nick, writers generally will finish what they've written, and then they have to go back, reread it, and start cutting.
Edit.
Yeah.
Edit.
I'm fine with that. You know, it's just... It's still
you
got
to do that.
I probably will. I thought about it, yeah.
Okay.
Did you think about when you hit about page 600 of your screenplay that maybe needed to weed it out a little bit?
Really probably is more of a book right now, in all honesty.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Look, this is something that J.R. Tolkien would say is too long.
Ralph is a perfect guy for you to know because he's been around in Hollywood for years and years and years, and he's got tons of experience in the industry, tons of experience as a writer. He'll be the first to tell you that you're making all the beginner mistakes, Nick, but when we try to help you by telling you that, you get mad at us and want to quit the show.
Oh, I'm not mad anymore. I'm on vacation right now, and I'm in Central Park at the moment. It's really pretty, and I'm at one with nature right now, so I don't have any anger in me at the moment.
Well, that's good to hear.
I'm happy right now. I'm in a good, happy place at the moment.
One of the emails that you sent me this week talks about your second screenplay, and I'm happy to see that you are moving on. And you're doing something that's kind of inspired by your love for The Hills. Do I have that right?
I love The Hills. That show's great. That's another thing. I didn't like The Hills at first. You know, I thought it was stupid.
It is.
But I didn't give it a chance. Now I love it. Now I'm on Team Lauren, man. Yeah.
You're on Team Lauren. I hate to ask, but what's the new screenplay about, Nick?
Oh, it's kind of... You really want to know? You really want to know?
Yes, that's why we asked.
Yeah, yes, yeah. Yes.
All right. You're going to laugh at me when I tell you this, because you're saying I think I'm the biggest loser for wanting to write this idea.
Okay,
we'll be the judge of that.
A guy in a dead-end situation, I guess you could say that I'm in a dead-end situation, if you will.
Yes, I would say that, yes.
And he goes out to the Roosevelt one night, and he's not really expecting anything, and he meets this beautiful reality TV show star, and they kind of spend the night together. The whole story is about how they spend the evening together, and he totally falls in love with her.
Right.
But then he realizes, she's way above his pay grade, and he has to find a way to kind of keep her.
So, in other words, it's kind of like Notting Hill was, where Hugh Grant spends the night with Julia Roberts, who's an internationally famous movie star, and then they've got to deal with the complexities of that unequal relationship.
Yeah, sort of. It's different. No one takes the place over one night. Like it.
Is this science fiction, Nick? What kind of genre is this?
I like to write kind of a simple kind of regular length screenplay that's just not full of crazy stuff.
A romantic comedy.
I started, but it's kind of a comedy, but it's also kind of a dark drama as well.
Oh, that's a good mix.
Do you have any?
That's what people are looking for.
Do you have a guy with an air compressor that blows holes in people's foreheads?
So it's a romantic comedy and it's a dark drama. See, Nick is the guy who's got all the life experience and all the tools to write a romantic comedy, too. That's why I think it's great that this is the genre that he's chosen.
Nick, you always have some of the best casting ideas, too, when it comes to your screenplays. Do you have any casting ideas for this screenplay?
I don't know. I have 2 pages. I just started it.
Okay. It must be great to have the kind of imagination you do where you sit at home with your pants around your ankles watching The Hills and you're thinking, how can I have sex with Lauren? I know. I'll write a story about me having sex with Lauren.
Yeah,
boom. Mission accomplished.
She'll love me because I wrote a movie about her.
Look, I enjoy writing. It makes me happy inside. It's what I like to do. It's who I am.
It makes you happy when somebody reads it and says, well, no, I don't really care for that. And then you get all pissy.
Exactly.
Okay, so you don't like it. Big deal. All right,
okay.
That's a better attitude.
Yeah, that's a much better attitude. Right. You need to have the confidence in your material that, that either it's good and you're going to stick with it and we don't know what we're talking about, which is fine, by the way, or you need to take our advice and try to change it and make it something more palatable to everybody else. But you can't just be pissy about it and want to quit. That's all there is to it.
I don't quit, Bean. I do.
Okay.
I stick with it even when it hurts. All right, because that's what champions do.
That's what champions do.
You are a champion.
Yeah, you are a champion.
Hey, Nick, you're on vacation, you said, in New York? Is that what you're doing?
What?
You're on vacation in New York?
I'm in New York. I'm going to the Yankee game tonight.
When someone takes a vacation, don't they usually take a vacation from something? What do you got going on here you're taking a vacation from?
I don't know. I just wanted to get out of town for a couple of days. I'm enjoying this.
Clear your head.
Yeah. Well, he's got a lot of pressures at home, Ralph.
Yeah. Drop by the Dakota while you're there in Central Park and see if John Lennon's around.
Yeah, I've been here 2 years in a row. This is my third time in New York. I went to Strawberry Fields last year. I'm going to probably stop by there today.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Good times. Well, Nick, so we're cool. Everything's all right with us then?
Yeah, we're cool. You're cool, all right?
All right.
I gotta say one more thing. I do still believe in, like, my first screenplay. I mean, I'll probably, like, will, you know, edit it down at some point. But, you know, it's my pride and joy. It's, you know, I created that, you know? It means a lot to me, you know?
But yeah. You know what? There are lots of things that you create and you look at and you're impressed with, but you still have to flush. You know what I'm saying?
I'm flushing this one, though. You don't have to watch it, but I'm not flushing it.
All right.
Can't get too attached, Nick.
Besides, screenplays, you know, sometimes they take 20 years to get made, but eventually they do, you know?
And sometimes they don't, but that's a good attitude. I'm glad you're feeling positive.
That my movie will get made eventually. Think of that. You want to?
Nope.
Is Dave back yet?
No, he's not back yet.
Wow, is he slow?
Now he's dragging
his
feet. No
kidding.
Well, we had him pick up some breakfast too while he was on his way back. Yeah.
Oh,
since he was out, we figured we'd use him.
All right. Yeah. Beck on the program later on this morning. He's going to be in our studios here at K-Rock. Plus, as you know, Megan Fox loves strippers almost as much as we do. We're going to be talking about that and talking to some strippers coming up after 8 o'clock this morning on K-Rock. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for a Wednesday. What's happening?
So much good television coming up soon.
Yes.
But I can't think of anything I'm looking forward to more than the season 3 premiere of Heroes.
Yay!
Hey! On Monday night, it's going to be awesome. I was at the red carpet world premiere for Eagle Eye last night.
Yes.
And a couple of the guys involved with Eagle Eye are also involved with Heroes and also involved with Fringe. It's sort of like a J.J. Abrams sort of, you know,
club.
Yeah, yeah. People who are working now. And so there at the party, I turn around and who do I see? I see Hero.
Hey.
Masayoki was there.
Okay.
And then I look over my shoulder. Who's there?
Siler.
Oh, I hope you stay away from that dude. Give him a wide berth.
He's a cool dude.
He's spooky looking though.
Yeah,
can't get past him. I mean, I knew he was like just normal, just having a drink and hanging out. But still, he's got he's got a sinister vibe about him.
Yeah,
wigs me out. Anyway, I have got seasons 1 and 2 of Heroes to give away on Blu-ray disc today, and I want to give them to a real Heroes fan. So I'm going to ask you a little trivia question about last season. If you know the correct answer, you call up at 1-800-520-1067. And you win seasons 1 and 2 of Heroes on Blu-ray in anticipation for season 3 starting next week. Here is the trivia question. At the end of last season, Siler begins to regain his evil powers that he was stripped of. It is true.
True.
How does he do it? How does Siler regain his powers? Call now. 1-800-520-1067 is the number if you're with the correct correct answer. First one through, you win that double disc.
9 months it'll have been since we last saw a new Heroes episode by the time it premieres on Monday.
You could have a human baby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
From conception to delivery. And then just say, here, child, watch Heroes now.
Well, originally they were going to tide us over with those episodes over the summer. Right, but then the writer's strike got
a little half season.
Yeah.
And they were going to do Heroes Origins.
Right.
Showing us how the other heroes were born. But we got nothing until next week. So I'm very excited. Speaking of Heroes, as we look at the showbiz news, have you seen the new voting PSA by Hayden Panettiere?
Mm. Yeah.
Who just couldn't be cuter. Just couldn't be more adorable.
Right.
She is doing a little, she's very politically aware. She's very active. And she's recorded a public service announcement to get young people out to vote. And I think she may have missed the mark. I'm not sure.
Hi, I'm Hayden Panettiere from that really popular show Heroes. I'm here to remind you to vote. Have I voted before? No. Do I plan on doing it this November? It depends on my schedule, but most likely, no. As a celebrity, I'm required to follow a different set of rules. Like, legally I can murder someone. Not that I would, but I can. So, no, I probably won't vote. But if no one voted, then what would happen? I don't know, but I'm pretty sure it would be a major problem. So vote. And you know what? Vote twice. You can vote for me too.
Aww.
See?
All our hearts in the right
now
place.
You know.
Yeah.
She's given us the right to vote for her as well.
So that's pretty cool. I'm gonna write in Hayden Panettiere. I like
that. Dave is here.
There's
the GQ.
Dave with the magazine. Oh.
Holding it up like He-Man holds up the sword outside of his castle. Wow.
Oh, how's the issue smell, Ralph?
Wow. I'm not going to smell it.
Like
I'm not
sweaty
freak
Mexican.
Like
James Franco's on the back. And he's
Whatever.
Shut your goddamn mouth.
I'm just saying something for everyone.
I don't want to be the first to bring this up, but her boobs are kind of uneven.
Yeah, it's
you
so
know,
cute.
I spent a lot of time
looking
at that
yesterday.
Well,
if you're going to study it that closely.
Her imperfection.
I just saw it. The first time I've ever seen the cover, Lisa, jumped out at me.
Her imperfection is perfect.
She needs to be adjusted. She needs someone just to go,
that's all
give her
she
a little,
needs.
Just a big left.
Yeah.
Look at her eyes. The eyes are what sells it, I think.
The eyes are unbelievable. And by the way, let me tell you about, speaking of the Megan Fox, because we haven't really talked about her enough this week. Those of you who insist on continuing to email us that she has something freakish wrong with one of her thumbs, F you.
Yeah,
right?
Really. Screw
off. I mean, if that is supposed to be the deal breaker, come on.
Wow, she's pretty good looking, turns out.
You hadn't even realized that until just now, had you?
No. Never really thought much about it until just now. Now, that's what GQ's for. It's very thought-provoking.
Good issue right there.
We have a winner, believe it or not.
You have an answer to my trivia question? Let's talk to Robert from El Monte and see if he knows what he's talking about. Robert?
Yes?
The end of last season, how did Siler begin to regain his powers?
He injects himself with a cheerleader's blood.
That's right. He took Claire Bennett's blood and injected himself.
Yeah.
I'd like to involve some injection with Claire Bennett, you know what I'm saying?
And fluids.
Congratulations, Robert. Hold on, we'll give you all the details, but you won seasons one and two of Heroes on Blu-ray. Right. Thanks so much for calling in.
I'd love to get a copy of that.
Easy. Obama had his fundraiser last night in Beverly Hills, speaking of celebrities and politics. And a lot of people paid $28,500 to have dinner with him.
Wow.
That's insane.
It is crazy money. And by the way, I was a little bit surprised to see this happen because remember for a while there, he was trying to distance himself from hanging out with celebrities because they were using that against him a little bit. But I guess
that's until Sarah Palin became a celebrity. Now he doesn't have to worry about that anymore. That's off,
that's
his,
a good point.
Off his shoulders.
And he needs the money.
Will Ferrell, Chris Rock, Tobey Maguire, Leonardo DiCaprio, Jodie Foster were among the attendees. And then afterwards, there was a concert by Barbra Streisand. For $2,500 a pop, you could hang out with Obama and his celebrity friends and listen to Barbra Streisand sing. I would pay $2,500 if she wouldn't sing. Apparently, Obama told the audience that this is not a reality show. No offense to any of you, he said. This is not a sitcom regarding the election and how serious the issues were that were facing voters coming up in November. So I think he is trying to take the celebrity money but not appear to be frivolous about his feelings about the elections.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got to walk a lot of very, very difficult fine lines when you're a politician.
Oh, because he's black, he's got to walk? He can't drive, Bean? Is that what you're saying? He's got to go in the back of the bus?
Now he's in a bus?
Nice. Yes. He's got to ride a unicycle because he's black? Is that what you're
that's
saying?
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Oh, you disgust me. You disgust me. The Jonas Brothers.
Oh!
They're hot.
Oh.
They are big. They're big and hot. Joe Jonas tells Us Weekly magazine that he was very excited to meet Britney Spears at the Video Music Awards. He considers her something of an icon.
Okay.
For insanity. Meanwhile, Kevin Jonas. How many Jonases are there, by the way? It seems like every day I hear a new
there's
one.
There's three.
There's just three of the Jonases? Yeah. Apparently, Kevin Jonas was caught by TMZ.com this week. Test driving a Lamborghini.
He has warts on his genitals.
Sure, he's got that, but he's also rich and is test driving Lamborghinis, and he is eight.
Yeah, those three bastards have enough money
in
their pockets to buy a Lamborghini. Yes, those guys are filthy stinking.
That makes me sad. I have to look at Megan Fox's cover again just to feel better. Okay, now I feel
balls.
She's a good looking broad. Montel Williams is trying to get his pet project off the ground. Have you seen the commercials of Montel Williams pushing this charity that helps people afford prescription medication?
Mm-mm.
Yeah. Apparently, he has a soft spot for people who can't afford prescription medication, which is a big problem. And amongst the many healthcare problems we have in America, this is a big one, especially the elderly can't afford the medication that gives them a longer, healthier life. And he was caught in New York City, however, by the press drinking a glass of 55-year-old scotch.
Yeah.
That set him back $525 for the drink.
He's not saying he can't afford prescription medication.
People are saying, you know, if he really wanted to help, you know, charity, maybe he would spend his money otherwise.
He's doing his part. He's allowed to also enjoy the fruits of his labor. He's guy's been working a long time.
Well, I just think it's funny because I've started a charity program to help people afford $225 glasses of scotch. Because that medication is just as important as prescription medication.
How's the Garmin Fund doing?
It's doing very well, although I drank most of it away last night. So we're raising new money again. And congratulations to Zac Efron. He is a major homo.
No, he's perfect in every way. What's going on with my sweet Zac?
Star Magazine reports that every time he cuts his hair, He has both his girlfriend, Vanessa, and his stylist measure it afterwards with a measuring tape to make sure it's the specific length that he desires.
Holy s***, it's Zac Efron!
Come on.
If I'm his girlfriend, I'm walking out the door
honey,
at that
honey,
point.
Measure my hair. Measure my hair to make sure it's the right length. Can you measure it?
He wants to continue to look perfect. You can't blame him for that. There's a lot at stake
we
there.
We do.
I pray for a fiery car crash.
How dare you?
Oh my gosh, Zac Efron is so beautiful.
I don't want him to die. I just want him to look like this. Yeah.
Freddy Krueger face.
Yeah, one of those smoothed over kind of cigar face, two-face kind of things going on. That'd be sweet.
Do you remember when the dude fell in toxic waste in RoboCop?
Oh,
and he got up and he's like, yeah,
that's what I want for Zac Efron. Then let me see it. Let me see you dance now. Dance, boy! Give me the ball. Whatever that effing song is from that show. Today's celebrity birthdays. Baz Luhrmann, the director of Moulin Rouge, is 46 years old today. Director Bryan Singer turns 43. Kyle Chandler from Friday Night Lights. He was the coach on that show. Is that still on?
Yes.
It's coming back.
Oh, they made a deal with DirecTV.
Why?
Because it's so
awesome.
Good.
It's great.
Because I love it.
Does no one have any compassion that they will pull the plug, that no one will turn off the machine? This is your aunt that is just... just
that's
on the
not a
respirator,
on
and she's in
canceled.
Horrible, horrible pain, and you just won't take the feeding tube out.
You're just
you
wrong.
Are mean spirited people. Let Ruff, Friday Night Lights just die. Let it just go.
Find a TV critic who didn't put it in his top 10 list of the best television shows on the air last year.
Find
I mean, you can't.
A group of people who watch it.
Right here, Buster. Right you here, 50% of this room.
Yeah, well, that's it. That's you too.
Why would DirecTV make a deal with them if no one was watching?
Tax credit. trying to find a write-off. No reason. No other reason possible.
You don't watch the show, Ralph. You don't know how great it is.
Nor does the rest of America.
But
we're telling you
something. We're telling you.
We're not interested.
It's an executive at DirecTV that really wants to bang Mika Kelly.
Yeah,
he's
going to
do anything possible.
I'll keep a show in the air if you'll have dinner with me. America screams out as one. We don't care. No one is listening. Vinny of Naughty by Nature also celebrates his birthday today.
He watches Friday Night Lights, I bet.
He does. He goes, I show like it. I'm Ralph Garman. I want the showbiz beat.
One of the great K-Rock musical artists of the last 15 years, Beck, is going to be joining us in studio 1 hour from right now on The Kevin and Bean Show.
Silver Lake. Not washing your hair in tight jeans.
Come on.
Hipsters.
Wow.
Silver Lake.
Wow.
I've been saying that my whole life. I'll be saying it till the day I die. Hipsters and Silver Lake.
How dare you? We're very excited about Beck. Why are you going to come at him like that? It's 8:14. Time to talk about strippers.
I love fake boobs. Oftentimes you find them on strippers.
Mm-hmm.
Megan Fox, who I apologize to the Carrick listeners, have not talked about very much this week. But Megan Fox did an interview with GQ magazine on newsstands today where she talked about how she became obsessed with a girl who was working at the body shop when Megan Fox first moved to L.A. about 4 years ago. A Russian stripper who went by the name Nikita. Here's what she says in the interview. Nikita would do these beautiful slow dances to Aerosmith ballads. The actress also said that she would bring the Russian stripper gifts and try to inspire her to quit her line of work. And that's kind of what got us thinking about what it must be like for a stripper with all the various things that are coming at you every night.
Oh,
and
hey,
I don't mean
what
that the way it sounds.
Come on.
But, Ralph, you've got a little bit more experience in the strip clubs than I do. I mean, this has got to be pretty common where the customer falls in love with the dancer and thinks that there's a relationship there and does everything they can to make it work, right?
Yeah, it's just a perfect storm for strippers usually, because you have to think about the fact that there's a certain percentage of guys go to strip clubs just for the fun of it. And then there's another hardcore audience there that is going to strip clubs because that is their only access to attractive women in various states of undress.
Wow.
And so they get there and then they fixate because these girls, because of the nature of their job, have to be nice and have to be friendly and have to act interested in what they have to say. And you get a lot of guys who get obsessed and fall in love with these strippers. I mean, it's not an uncommon phenomenon. And then so they want to date them and they want relationships with them and they start showing up and bringing gifts and buying cars. I mean, I've dated a few strippers and you would be amazed at the stories I've heard of things that they were given. These guys trying to buy their affections, in essence. One guy gave a girl I knew a car.
Wow.
Just brought in the keys and said, here, this is for you. I heard you had trouble with your car and you were having a hard time getting to work and blah, 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 so I thought you could use a new one and just handed over the keys.
And what did she do? What was her reaction to that?
Thank you.
Did she take it?
Thank you.
Really?
Yep.
She didn't go out with him, though.
Nope.
Now, 99%, maybe higher, of these girls would never give this particular guy or girl the time of day, but that's their job. Just like the waitress at the Denny's, her job is to be pleasant to you, and whether she likes you or not, it's just they're in a service industry, right?
And their service is fantasy. Their job is to create a fantasy world where you get to pretend you're attractive to really hot girls, and they want to dance on top of you and grind their bodies against you. That's right. What they're selling. They have to make you believe that that is happening. And then, in exchange for that, you open your wallet and empty it onto the floor, and they pick everything up.
I know it's unlikely that there are strippers up at 8 o'clock in the morning.
They may be still up.
Yeah, just getting possible. Back from IHOP. They had a long shift. They had to fill up.
That's had true. A couple rails, you know, in the bathroom at Denny's there on Sunset. They're
the strip club DJ had a fanny pack full of blow.
Exactly. Yeah, they're finding a way to wind down. They're listening to our show trying to fall asleep.
Usually that's good advice,
good
too. All right, so we're looking for strippers now. That's fine. We want to hear the stories of the people who give you stuff and try to talk you into going out with them, or, as in the case of this Megan Fox story, by the way, try to save you, try to convince you that stripping is not the thing you ought to be doing, and they try to talk you out of it. I guess they become obsessed with you to the point where they think they have a personal relationship with you, and they think that you care, you know, they care that what you think, I guess, is what happens, right?
Yeah. And it's so funny, the guys who try to date strippers famously are super jealous about them too. And the minute they start dating them, they want them to quit their job and stop being strippers and just, you know, sit at home and, you know, polish his jet ski or whatever he's got going on.
Former strippers are fine too. We want to hear from you if you've got any kind of stripper experience and what it was like for you and how it relates to this Megan Fox story of desperately trying to woo Nikita and not being successful. It sounds like for more than a couple of weeks, and then it just exploded. It sounds like.
Yeah.
But 1-800-520-1067 is the number. We're putting out the bat signal in the sky. We want strippers and former strippers, give us a call. And by the way, maybe you were working the body shop about the time Nikita was working there about 4 years ago. We particularly want to hear from you. So your calls are coming up next right after this on the world-famous K-Rock.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
826 on the Kevin and Bean Show, 106.7 KROQ. Even hearing all the warnings that you gave, Ralph, about people who fall for strippers and how it's not realistic and how you're going to fail by trying to date one, it had to be a little bit easier for Megan Fox, right, than most of us?
Yes, she's smoking hot. And here's the thing. Women, a lot of strippers are bisexual.
Mm-hmm.
And the people they tend to respond best to are women, because they're just creeped out because the guys that they meet are usually so disgusting and sort of sloppy and pathetic and desperate and needy that they get turned off by guys. So they often act out sexually with women. God bless them.
Well, that's what we're talking about. We're looking for strippers and ex-strippers at 1-800-520-1067. Megan Fox was trying to make it with Nikita. It didn't work out. How did it go for you? Let's try Rose in L.A. She's on line 6. And Jesse and Yuri, you hang on, too. We are definitely going to get to you, and we'll take some more calls, too. Hey, Rose, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. You are an ex-stripper, right?
I am indeed.
Why did you stop?
Why did I quit? It was such a skeevy job. Like, I was not working in one of these, like, lovely, like, high-class places. I don't want to say the name of the place because I'm talking bad about it right now and so on, but, I mean, it was just a dump.
Jumbo's Clown Room?
I can't say it.
Okay, enough said on that. Now, if you had been hotter, would you have been able to work at one of the better places?
I was so hot, I couldn't deal with the better places. All the girls were jealous of me.
Yeah,
I got you. All right. How common is this story that Megan Fox tells in the new GQ issue of people who want to date you and bring you gifts or try to constantly talk you out of stripping? Tell us about your experience with that.
Well, I got a lot of people just trying to talk me out of it, especially girls who came on dates with their boys. Who takes their girlfriend to a strip joint anyway?
I do.
But there you go. Yeah. But, I mean,
me too.
But it's a lot of girls were trying to talk me out of it and saying, like, this is not what you have to do. I have this job and that job. And my answer is, great, well, I'm making more money than you are.
That's the thing. The cash is so good, it's hard to turn down, isn't it?
It is. But the best present I ever got was one of my regulars came in one day with a diamond ring, this huge, enormous diamond ring. I don't know how many carats it was, but he asked me to marry him.
Wow.
No kidding.
And you had never been out on a date or anything with him?
No, I mean, you know, I guess it's this thing that you were just talking about where he thinks that we're in a relationship and he thinks that it's going somewhere.
Right.
But I was going to quit in 2 weeks anyway because I was just sick of the place.
Yeah.
So you took the ring and changed your name and moved to another city?
Oh, even, no, not exactly, but I take the ring, but I told him, look, Rick, I can't marry you, but if you give me this ring anyway, I will quit in 2 weeks.
Oh, I see.
And so I took the ring, and I quit in 2 weeks because okay. I was going to anyway. But, and I just got a great diamond ring out of it.
And Rick got zip.
Well, of course Rick got zip.
Yeah.
Rick wasn't my boyfriend.
That's the way it works.
Wow. There you go. That's a lesson learned right there. Okay. Thank you, Rose. Appreciate the call. 1-800-520-1067. Let's talk to Jesse in L.A. Jesse, it wasn't you. It was your ex-wife that was stripping. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. When she was going to college to become a mortician, she was a stripper in Dallas.
That's such a weird mix.
some guy asked her, what would make you happy? She said $10,000. The guy wrote her a check.
Oh, wow.
Was it good?
Yeah, I got bought furniture.
No kidding. So she took the $10,000 check, and there was nothing given in return?
Nothing given in return.
As far as you know.
I thought there would have been, but I checked around and nobody seems to know anything else.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
Nice.
Hey, thanks for the call. By the way, as Jesse's telling that story, I'm reminded of something that we haven't brought up at all this week. Let's talk about a stripper who hit the big time, who was in the right place at the right time. You guys remember a young lady named Anna Nicole Smith?
Yeah, that's right.
Yep.
That's how she met Howard Marshall, right?
Yep, that's how she met Howard Marshall. There's a girl who was not at all attractive. Remember, this was pre-boobs. And she's stripping, and a guy worth like $90 million comes in and takes to her and ends up marrying her.
I mean, that's
a stripper story that worked out pretty well for her, I guess.
I don't think you can say Anna Nicole Smith was not at all attractive. I thought she
didn't look anything when she started stripping and started hanging out with him. You see the photos from that period. She didn't look anywhere near what she ended up looking like when she started posing for Playboy.
I'm not sure that turned out well because she's dead and she never got the money.
She never got the money, yeah. Well, in Bean's world, that's a win.
No, but I'm saying
anything ends in tragedy is usually Bean's favorite thing.
While he was alive, I did
a painting of her dying in the hotel room.
But tell me the truth. While he was alive, she was living way high on the hog for a guy who was 90. She wasn't having sex with him or anything like that. She was just spending all of his money, and that happened because she was a stripper. I'm saying for a while there, it was going pretty good for her.
And she didn't even have to get high on his hog, so it all worked out.
Exactly. Yeah. All right, we weren't looking for male strippers, but Yuri called anyway.
And
apparently it happens in both directions. Hi, Yuri. Thanks for holding on. You're on the Kevin DeBean Show.
Hey, guys. Hey, Lisa.
Good morning.
What's the deal?
I ran out of college, moved to Vegas to make a little bit of money, was selling real estate,
mm-hmm.
started doing a little bit of dancing, and this older lady starts coming in there on a regular basis and starts kind of favoring me, and eventually we get to talking, and I basically said I really don't have a car. I did, but it was kind of a beater.
Mm-hmm.
And we started, she started saying, hey, maybe I can help you out with something, and one thing led to another, and ended up with a car.
She brought you a car.
What kind of car?
Well, that's the funny part. Originally, I just said I needed something to get around town. So we went to like a Honda dealer together and looked around and ended up getting a Porsche.
Oh.
Ended up getting a Boxster. And it was very nice, I must admit.
But you had to give it up to this old biddy, though, right?
Not that many times.
Yeah. That's the thing about women. Guys will just give and be suckered. I knew this broad was going to get something out of Yuri for the car. I knew something was going to happen.
She eventually did.
Yeah,
we can talk to every stripper who's ever been given a car, and most of them never ended up putting out, but every guy has. I guess that you're right about that, Ralph. That's awesome. So she had expectations, didn't she, that there was going to be some sort of a relationship or no?
I'm not sure how long she wanted it to go. I think she just wanted, a little fling for a few months, because eventually she stopped showing up, and eventually I quit and left.
A little gigolo action. Sounds
like a win-win scenario, dude.
That's the way it worked.
But if you wanted the pink slip, you had to work the pink. You know what I'm saying?
So to speak.
Thanks for the call, Yuri. Mike, you think maybe you put too fine a point on that?
No, not at all.
Was that really necessary?
I apologize.
Trouble in Britain. Lisa, I don't know if you heard the story, but Amy Winehouse turned 25, which I know is shocking when you look at her, that she's only 25. Yes. There was a big birthday party thrown in her honor at the very prominent London Jazz After Dark Club. It was just this past Saturday night. All of her friends were there. Her family was there. According to newspaper reports, Amy Winehouse did not attend because she felt too ugly.
She ugly. She ugly. U-G-L-Y. She ain't got no alibi. She ugly.
So we asked producer Alex to line up Miss Winehouse on the phone and find out if there's any truth to that rumor, if it's just tabloid journalism again. Amy, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, my dear.
Oi, how you doing?
Well, we're fine. Happy belated birthday to you.
F off.
I'm just saying happy birthday. I'm just saying congratulations on making it to 25. A lot of people didn't think you would.
Oh, that's all right then. I thought you were taking out of me because I'm effing ugly.
Well, I mean, is this story true? They kept sending cabs to your apartment to get you to the party where everyone was waiting for you, and you refused to go because you were looking in the mirror and you realized how bad you looked?
Yeah, someone got me a mirror for my birthday.
Ooh,
oh, that's just cruel.
Very nice.
And I had it covered with cocaine.
Sure.
And I never saw the bottom of it, but then... Ow! Then I did all the cocaine, and I saw the mirror, and I looked in it, and I have some issues.
It's shocking how bad you look for a woman of 25 years old.
I need a moisturizer.
Yes, your skin is leather.
And I could use teeth.
Teeth, indeed, yes.
Teeth would come in handy.
You kind of look like Keith Richards after he's been beat up in an alley.
Thank you. I appreciate that. But I didn't mind missing the party because I'm not really one for parties anyway.
Really?
I don't really care for it. I like to stay at home and have a nice leisurely breakfast of Guinness.
Right. That sounds about right, yeah.
Oh, that's good. Then, you know, spend some time with my plants.
Right. Communing with nature, right?
Oh. And then just kick back and have a big tank of nitrous.
Yeah. Okay.
Watch the telly.
Amy, when you were standing in front of the mirror, as one of your friends described, seeing how rough you look, did it start to occur to you that maybe all of these drugs and all of this drinking and all of this staying up all night and partying is starting to really take its toll on your health?
I think it's not really that so much as it is the environment. I think it's global warming. Global warming's having an effect on my face.
I don't know that that's what's causing it. I think it's really more the stuff that you're doing to yourself, Amy. What the heck is that?
Wait a second.
That's a donkey.
What? Why do you have a donkey in your apartment?
I make butt hash out of its poop.
Oh no, that's too much.
But I don't think it's that. I think it's the environment. It's the pollution in London which is having a negative effect on my appearance.
Okay, but why doesn't everybody else? Okay, is that a frog?
I'm licking a toad. That's right.
Are there any drugs you don't do?
Yes. I no longer snort ground up elephant tusks.
Then why do you have the elephant?
Well, he's still here, but the tusks are gone.
You've already snorted them. Is that a monkey?
Dolphin.
No, I'm going to smoke a dolphin now.
That's a dolphin, sorry.
That monkey.
Monkey dolphin.
Don't be an idiot. Who would do a monkey?
Well, that's a monkey.
All right, yeah, I would do a monkey, yeah.
Got a little bit of a showbiz scoop a minute ago, Ralph. I don't know if you were listening, but Amy Winehouse is snorting a monkey.
Wow. That's just too far gone.
Talk about having a monkey on your back.
No kidding.
No kidding. Wow.
She literally has a monkey on her back.
Sure. Yeah.
That's what I'm getting at.
8:54 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Beck after the top of the hour. Now Ralph's got the showbiz beat for Wednesday. What's going on?
I had no idea. I was so close to it last night. I had no idea.
Close to what?
Well, Lisa, I mentioned this morning that I was at the world premiere of Eagle Eye last night, the new Shia LaBeouf movie.
Yeah.
So I went to the premiere, and I saw Shia in the theater. Mm-hmm. I didn't see him at the after party.
Okay.
But a listener just sent me a photograph of Shia walking the red carpet. And who was his date last night, Lisa, on the red carpet?
No. Megan.
A little woman named Megan Fox.
And you didn't see her?
And I didn't see her.
You were in the same vicinity, breathing the same air?
I was must have been within 50 feet of her several times during the evening. She's on the red carpet wearing a little tiny, tiny mini dress and a turquoise necklace and just looking radiant.
Wow.
Wow.
I'm looking at the photo as we speak.
That's almost worse than not being near her.
I know. I had no idea. I was so close and yet so far. Good news is the movie's great.
Okay.
So you got
but
that going
seeing
for
Megan it. Fox would have been better.
Would have been much better.
Sure. Yeah. Did you feel tingly, like, and you didn't know why? Like, there was a disturbance in the force, but you couldn't quite figure out what was going on?
Yes. I thought I had sat on needles. But it turns out it was a different kind of sensation.
Thank you for the photo to the listener that sent us that. I think it was Anna.
Yeah. Thank you, Anna. Also, thanks to listener Paul, who sent me this story for the Showbiz Beat that I am... I cried when I first read it. Okay. Fox has announced their new series, tentatively titled Georgia and the Seven Associates. It is a contemporary take on Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs.
Uh-oh.
It is about a young lawyer named Georgia Burnett who gets banished from a top law firm run by her evil stepmother and forced to team up with seven quirky lawyers in a storefront legal office. Each of the seven lawyers has a personality of the seven dwarfs.
No.
For instance, Doc is an ambulance chaser who carries neck braces in his trunk. Sleepy is a bike messenger who parties at night and naps in the office during the day.
Not a real show.
Are you effing kidding me?
How long until Lisa May comes in and tells us it's great?
Oh, it's so great. They're like all dwarfs and one sleeps in the office.
Well, they can take the carpool lane. I know that.
Oh. Oh.
So well, first of all, they're idiots.
Yes, thank you.
So thank you, folks at Fox. Soon we can be watching Georgia and the Seven Associates.
I knew Fox was in trouble when Hole in the Wall aired more than once. But now you're telling me that this is coming?
Now we're getting dwarf lawyers.
Oh, my God.
It's time to face the hole.
Okay. Satan runs Hollywood. It's official.
Yep.
This just in. Jennifer Love Hewitt and her boyfriend Ross McCall are fighting, according to Star Magazine.
Boobs.
Apparently, Ross McCall is an actor, believe it or not. I've never heard of him. I don't know what he does. But apparently he has work to do because they recently had a fight. Jennifer was angry at him for jetting off and taking off on their relationship to go work. And she wants him to spend more time committed to their relationship.
Well, this was a big bust.
Apparently, he said goodbye, but left without kissing her goodbye. Caused her a lot of trouble.
Okay.
And he said, and your ass is fat. Which really cheesed her off.
For real, though.
Trouble. Trouble in paradise for those two.
These big cans are one-third larger.
Speaking of losing weight, Angelina Jolie is punishing her household while she tries to drop her baby weight. According to Star Magazine, the actress and mom of six has banned all junk food in the house while she tries to get back to her slim figure. That is effed up.
It is.
What's Brad going to do when he wants a ho-ho? He's screwed. He's already got a ho-ho. Remember the guy who wrote Basic Instinct and Showgirls? This guy, Joe Esterhaus?
Yes.
Genius.
Yes, crazy.
Genius. He was, for a while, Ralph, am I right about this? He was the highest paid screenwriter in Hollywood, right?
Yes, and often was the sort of poster boy of screenwriters everywhere for just horrible hack trash writing.
Yeah.
That was wildly successful for a short time in the entertainment business. He says he's changed man. Back in 2001, he found out he had throat cancer.
Ooh.
And made a 180-degree turn in his life. He said his old days were filled with death, murder, crime, and chaos.
Sounds pretty good.
That wasn't what he was writing. That was actually his life.
His life was very dark, he said, Lisa. It was filled with death, murder, crime, and chaos.
Damn.
As a result, his movie scripts reflected his dark life. But now, he's found Jesus.
Gaywad.
And the cancer is gone. And he is a practicing Catholic, and he says his life has never been better, and he wants everyone else to turn over a new leaf as well.
I guarantee He'll never write another good script.
I guarantee you he never wrote one to begin with. And, well, Megan Fox, right?
Yeah.
Oh. I don't have a story. I just wanted to.
Oh, you just
Hi, Megan Fox.
I can't believe I was in the same building as her at the same event.
No, and didn't see her.
I didn't see her. I feel like.
Hi, Megan Fox.
Sometimes it's better, dude.
It's not better.
I was at the VMAs with her, and I saw her twice after both costume changes, and it's torturous.
We got an email from Sean who said to tell you, Ralph, not to feel too bad because she was only there to do press and left even before the movie started.
Oh, really? So yeah. I wouldn't have seen her anyway. No. Still.
Why was it torturous, though? Why was it bad to see her? Because it's so unattainable now that you've seen it in person, Mike? Is that the problem?
Well, yeah. And then, like, my wife's a pig now. You know,
she is not.
I didn't think that. I didn't think that, but it's hard, you know? It's hard.
Poor woman.
Hi, I'm Megan Fox.
Paul McCartney will be heavily guarded
by
Israeli Secret Service when he performs in Tel Aviv on December the 25th. Apparently, Paul McCartney will be performing as part of Israel's 60th anniversary celebrations, but he has been targeted for death, by Muslim extremists.
The Grim Reaper is stalking him.
Yes.
Look, there aren't many Beatles left. Just let him be, all right?
No. The extremist group says Paul is an enemy of all Muslims.
Because?
Why?
He doesn't eat meat? What has he done?
I don't know what he's done to tick off the Muslims. He did have a Beatles song once called All of My Lovin'.
No. That was All My.
Oh, wasn't All of My Lovin'?
No.
Oh.
Is it that he's performing in Israel? Does that automatically make him an enemy of the state or something?
I guess so.
Probably does.
He was told to cancel his concert, but he refused. Paul said to a newspaper this week, I refused. I do what I think, and I have many friends who support Israel.
Okay.
So he's going to go anyway. Good for you, Paul. Keep fighting the good fight. Not worth getting killed over. Just saying. Today's celebrity birthday is John Walker. He is the bassist for Panic at the Disco. He's 23 years old today. Oh. Kyle Chandler from Friday Night Lights is 43 years old today.
And you now admit that you were wrong last hour, and it is, in fact, quality television.
Okay. I just think it's ironic that Kyle Chandler is 43 today, and that's exactly the number of people who watch Friday Night Lights.
Oh.
Isn't that funny how it worked out? What are the odds?
Wow.
Director Brian Singer is also 43, and Baz Luhrmann, very talented Australian director, has got a new movie called Australia, as a matter of fact, coming out later this year.
Off the album Australia.
I believe it is, with their new single, Australia. He is 46 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Hi, it's Beck.
I'm a loser, baby. She's a the devil's haircut, baby, I'm a lost cause. That's nausea, my son, I go. We got a time bomb, we got a time bomb. Come on, little cabaret.
How many songs you reckon you've written at this point, Beck?
We could do that forever, right?
I think my life just passed before my eyes.
Well, that's all the time we have. So good to see you.
Good to see you again. It's great to have you back on the world-famous K-Rock. Beck has joined us. Of course, we've been talking about him all week because he's in town for a sold-out show at the Hollywood Bowl this coming Saturday night. We'll have more tickets that you can win coming up with Kat after 10 o'clock this morning. That's for an L.A. guy, that's still got to be a big deal, selling out and playing the Hollywood Bowl, I imagine, right?
Absolutely, yeah. No, I mean, we were trying to figure out where we were going to play and then the bowl, and there's no way we were going to sell it out, and so it was a huge surprise for me.
Yeah,
I was just getting visions of, you know, 800 people out there.
Oh, that would be so sad.
Believe me, it's happened before.
There can't be too many venues around LA that you haven't played at this point, though, I would imagine.
Yeah, it's one of the ones we haven't, but
that's awesome.
Yeah.
But so how you been, man? What's your summer been like? What have you been up to?
I was in Europe, and then we just toured around the West Coast, and, you know, just playing music and sweating, really. Yeah.
Well, that's one thing about Beck, though. If you've never seen Beck, that's a guy who earns your ticket price when you go to see the boy in concert. I mean, you must lose 15 pounds a night when you're out there playing and dancing and roboting and everything else you do.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely, I used to eat two dinners after every show. Kidding. I remember that. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Not quite as much before, but I used to eat a dinner before and two after. So, yeah.
On the Michael Phelps diet there for a minute. Wow.
Exactly right.
Any change now in the amount of work that you're willing to do now that you've got some youngins at home? I imagine that that takes up a fair amount of your time, too.
Yeah. I mean, you do have to kind of put some boundaries. But I am a bit of a workaholic, I think. I definitely will push myself until I realize I haven't slept in 5 days or whatever it is.
I always imagine, I don't know what your setup is at home, but I always imagine that you're the kind of guy who gets a lot of ideas and probably wants to be able to go make something out of them right away, and you've got a little setup somewhere that you can go and just lay it down as you think of it.
I do, yeah. I mean, I do have a studio at my house, and I did a lot of the last record there, and I'm usually coming up with ideas, and usually at inopportune times, but
you know. Honey, I'll be right back.
Yeah, exactly.
10 hours later.
Are your kids into music yet? Are they still too young, or do they?
They are. No, they love it. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Because you kind of grew up in a musical household. I imagine you know how advantageous that is, how much fun that is for a kid. So it seems like you'd probably want to surround yours with the same.
Oh, I did. Yeah, definitely. My father was a viola player and violin. And we have instruments all over the place. I actually got my son a drum kit. They make a little miniature Ludwig drum kit that's for 3-year-olds. 4-year-olds.
Oh, I bet he would love that.
Yeah, it's. I mean, it's actually a real drum kit. They shrank it down and, you know.
As a guy without
rhythm,
he does have rhythm. It's weird, you know. Even when he's one, my daughter's the same way. They'll keep time and.
No kidding!
Wow. Yeah. As a guy without children, I can't imagine a deeper circle of hell than a 3-year-old in a drum kit. That just to me sounds like a nightmare. But I guess if it's your kid, it's fun.
If it's your kid,
like,
yeah.
You like watching it, yeah.
Well, if that are the pots and pans anyway, you may as well give them something
to pound on. Yeah, exactly. Give them something. Yeah.
Beck is here. If you're just joining us, he's on the world-famous K-Rock again, playing the Hollywood Bowl, sold out this Saturday night. We were talking right before the song ended that I can't believe it's really been 3 years since you've been on the Kevin and Bean Show, but we did Cinco de Becco, I guess, on Cinco de Mayo a couple of years ago, 2-3 years ago.
I'll never forget.
Had a great time. It was fun. We haven't seen you since then, but you did sit down with Jed since then. Now, you're one of the only people I know, Beck, who might understand where Jed's coming from. What's that? You know the guy. What's his deal?
I don't know. I mean, I feel a little bit on the spot.
we thought you might
speak Jed, is what we thought.
Oh, okay. Sort of. Shed some light on the inner sanctum of Jed.
We can't figure it out.
Well, let me refresh your memory from the last time you sat down with Jed, because I do have a couple of clips. I think you were at Acoustic Christmas, and here's how Jed chose to spend his time with you.
Yeah, I got Beck right here.
I got my headset on.
Your hair looks so good. It's just
quite nice.
Yeah, but yours is like stirring me right now.
I don't know if that's good.
I think he was hitting on you. I'm not sure.
I don't know, actually. I'm a little confused. I mean,
well, you think you were confused then.
I mean, there's hair that I admire, so, you know.
So you do understand that
I can feel with
part.
Him on that, but, okay. But yeah.
Maybe it was a little jealousy.
I don't know. I don't know what happened. I don't know what he was gleaning.
So you're saying the way you... the little place we keep in our brains that we have for the music could actually affect our visual perceptions.
I just got lost.
All right.
He's the best.
I don't think that's what I was saying.
I love it.
He's the best. Hey, we were talking about Cinco de Becco. Psycho Mike, you had a question that I thought was interesting that I don't think I've ever heard anyone ask back before.
Where'd your love for La Raza come from? You have a pretty intense passion for Mexicans and Mexican culture. Where did that come from?
Well, I grew up, you know, I was born kind of near downtown L.A., MacArthur Park, you know, that area. So, I mean, I grew up in that culture. You know, that's, you know, my stepfather was Mexican. And, you know, so I have a lot of... I have a lot of references in that culture, you know, and somewhat as a, as an insider and somewhat as an outsider, if you know what I mean.
It's yeah. Like,
so, you know, and I grew up around Olympic and Hoover, you know, in that little area right. in the 70s and 80s. And
so it's natural by osmosis, I guess.
Osmosis, yeah, yeah.
You certainly seem to be one of those guys who, you're not doing it in an ironic way. I get the sense that you really do appreciate and admire a lot of that Mexican style music too. I mean, it's, you're paying tribute to it when you do it. You're not doing it in an ironic way, I don't think.
I actually do like it. I mean, I've quite a wide range of music that I you know, I'm into Brazilian music and I've even been getting into Turkish rock lately in the last few years. Yeah, there's a whole. They had their whole version of the 60s that happened that was kind of amazing.
Ago?
No, in the 60s, I mean, they
Oh,
have,
really?
Yeah, in Turkey, they had their version of Hendrix, you know, and these kind of things are fascinating for me, you know.
That's wild.
These sort of alternate takes on popular culture and the world and
Has it been great for you as an artist to be able to see so much of the world, and have you had the opportunity when you go to some of these countries to actually get out with the people and hear their music?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely try. I mean, you're a little bit, when you're touring, you're definitely on a pretty tight schedule. You're just being, you know, you're just trying to get sleep and food and be coherent, you know, when you get to the show. But no, over the years, I've definitely had the chance to look around and, you know, whether we're Brazil or Portugal or Germany. I don't know what you do in Germany. I guess you go see some Oompa bands, you know. I guess you can do that in
but
Glendale,
you find it,
too. But
it starts to sort of seep into what you're doing, the things that you hear.
I think it does, yeah. I mean, we spent a lot of time in Japan in the 90s, and a record like Midnight Vultures looks completely influenced by going to Japan and that overload of Japanese culture and all these places, definitely.
That to me, and I haven't been to Japan as an adult, but
from
what
I see. Oh, you need to go. You absolutely need to go.
I want to. I definitely want to. But from what I see on the TV or hear in the records that I hear from Japan, no place seems more opposite of the United States. It seems like it's not even on the same planet. It's so different from, I mean, everything, the language and the rhythms and everything that they do is completely opposite of what we do here, it seems like.
Yeah. That's what I love. I love going somewhere and feeling completely displaced and I have no reference points. And I mean, the first time I went, it was a little intimidating, but over the years, I kind of found my way, and you just find the craziest things over there. I mean, just, and there's something, I think there's something healthy about going somewhere and seeing an entire country that's decided to do everything that we do, but slightly a different version of it, you know, that how we live our life is somewhat arbitrary in a way, you know?
Yeah, there's not one right way to do things.
Yeah.
They've managed to be successful and live it up for 5,000 years or something without any kind of real Western influence for a lot of people, it seems like.
Yeah. The most amazing thing is that the first time we went there, they have all these weird buttons on their toilets.
Oh, is it like the Toto toilets?
Yeah, maybe you've seen these. I don't know. I remember the first time I pressed the button and this little weird robot arm comes out. And I'm looking, what the hell is this? And then it's like a water pick into your face. I mean, it's...
Oh!
You're kidding!
Yeah.
I've never seen anything like that.
I mean, if you got technology, you use it, I guess.
I guess that's right. Yeah. All right, we got to take a quick break. Our friend Beck is here. It's been a while since we've caught up with him, so we have many more questions, and we will return with him. Don't forget, Hollywood... Well, I don't know why I'm reminding you. It's sold out. You can't go anyway.
Yeah.
So screw you! More with Beck after this on K-Rock. You are listening to the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. Generally a mistake, but today you lucked out because our friend Beck Hansen is in the studio. He, of course, playing the Hollywood Bowl this coming Saturday night. It is sold out. We were talking off-air about this the support acts. I mean, I'm going to advise people to leave after MGMT. I mean, when you think
right.
Beck, I mean, come on.
And Spoon, I mean, yeah, we've sort of set ourselves up for,
That's a good night of rock and roll right there.
Yep.
Absolutely. Here's an article I just brought up. You Google Beck, and here's the first article that I got. Beck returns to El Paso. Which Beck will show up at the Abraham Chavez Theater on Thursday, September 25th? Will it be the acoustic, contemplative Beck of Sea Change with his thousand-yard stare and husky voice? Or the scarf-wearing, libidinous B-boy Beck doing splits and howling like an Anglo James Brown a la Midnight Vultures?
Right, well,
How do you decide which show you're going to do, Beck, when you have a gig? Because there are a lot of different variations of the Beck Stage Show.
We have a big wheel backstage that we just spin and. I don't know. That's a good question.
I mean, it's a legitimate question because we've all been to see you when you've been kind of in the acoustic guitar folk rock mode, and then we go to see you sometimes, and it's all about the electronic and the dancing and craziness and stuff like that. I mean,
yeah.
Is it just how you're feeling that night, or does it depend on the album you're promoting, or what?
I mean, I've done tours where obviously I'm playing acoustic and I'll play by myself. So I think it was 2003. I did a whole tour through Europe and America where I just played by myself. It was mostly acoustic, but I still did songs like Where It's At and Loser. I just did kind of acoustic versions or solo versions, if you will, of them. These days I pretty much try to bring a little bit of everything that I've done, because there are people who just like certain things that I do. There's certain people who only like the folky stuff, and there's other people who only like Midnight Vultures or my first record. I've kind of found myself in an interesting position, but the folky stuff, I mean, that's where I started out, and a song like Loser was something that was just kind of a one-off. It was a sort of an accidental thing that happened, and it just sort of fell in my lap, so I sort of have these two different kind of directions that I've been slowly trying to reconcile over the years.
Yeah.
And I don't know if the twain will ever meet, but somewhere in the middle, there's a lot of interesting areas to explore.
It's not unlike, by the way, a guy like Bruce Springsteen is a very similar situation where he has to make those acoustic records because those are so important to him, yet he also has to rock it out with the E Street Band. I mean, he wants to do both, and you're right. It's a balancing act, I guess, to make everybody happy.
I mean, a bad analogy, I think, for me has always been, one was maybe painting or, something where you're using all these colors. Another one is just getting a pencil and doing a drawing, and playing... Doing something on acoustic guitar, really stripped down like that, I think is, as a songwriter performer, is really healthy. I think because you're really stripping back everything that you could possibly hide behind, and you're getting really to the marrow of what you do.
Yeah, and the songs have to be better when you do them that way because you don't have anything to hide. You can't hide it behind a beat or an instrument.
Yeah,
they
have to be better, or you have to really invest yourself in it. You have to really, it has to matter to you.
Right.
Modern Guilt, which is the current Beck album, you've been hearing some of it here on K-Rock over the last couple of months, is your eighth studio album, if I'm counting correctly in my mind. But I bet you're a guy who has hundreds of songs in a vault somewhere, because you seem like you probably write and record more than that.
Yeah, I'd say little of what I record gets released. So it's funny to me. What you release, you're definitely, that's what people think of what you do, And so in my mind, I have all these other references of things I did, like weird electronic records I did that I shelved, or around before I did Odelay, I did an acoustic record that sounded a lot like Sea Change. 8 years before the fact, and when Sea Change came out, it wasn't a new thing for me. It's like, I've been doing this kind of thing for years. Mm-hmm. I just haven't released it. You don't necessarily want to. I think of it when you put out 10 songs or 12 songs, you're taking people's time, and you gotta. For me, you're asking a lot for somebody to sit down and listen to your music. It's gotta really be worthy,
But I know what a big music fan you are, and I know that there are a lot of artists out there that you personally admire, and you're a big enough fan that you would want to hear some of that other stuff from those artists, right?
I would, actually, yeah.
And I mean, if MGMT said, we got 28 songs we've never released, you'd be like, hook a brother up,
Yeah, no, I think there's a good point to that. I think some of them are experiments. They're things that you'd hear once or twice and you think, well, that's really interesting, and then maybe after a while you'd be like, I don't really need to hear that again. And on the albums I really try to put the songs I think like, okay, am I going to be sick of this in a year?
Because you do have to perform them.
You put this on in 5 years and you still want to listen to it, and that's, I mean, that's almost impossible to guess, I'm still guessing, and I'm not saying that my albums are listenable to that degree, but you know, I really try to do that. But who's to say some of the other songs aren't better? You know,
I'd love to see him come out. I'd love to see you maybe use your website or something, give people the opportunity. Maybe just, you know, here and there. How about a covers record? You're the kind of guy who has, you know, such a wide variety of musical interest. It'd be fascinating to hear which songs you'd like to redo.
I have a list.
Do you really?
Yeah, I have a list of things. I mean, things that I've covered in concert before, and things that I just think are great songs that
Fergalicious nobody's would be on that heard. List, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, there's some good material out there that in the Nelly catalog. And I've done Nelly.
Have you really?
Songs Love. Yeah.
What'd you do? Did you do Hot in Here?
Yeah, I did actually.
I'd love to hear it.
We did that for a while. Actually, we did a thing when DJ started to do mashups.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
We had this idea. This was about 8 years ago. We had this idea to, as a band, be a live mashup kind of machine. I mean, DJs obviously do it with the records and they mash it up. But we did it like, okay, bass player, you're gonna play Another One Bites the Dust. The drummer's going to play Hot in Here, or my keyboard player will be Hot in Here. The drummer's going to play Duran Duran or something, and I'll sing Beyonce or something. And I'll see you on the other side. We actually would do this in concert. And every night, and then we'd start throwing, and suddenly it would go into David Bowie and this and that.
Wow.
It's, you know.
Sounds like fun. Well,
or a train wreck. Yeah, it depends which way.
You try to forget those dates, right?
Yeah.
You don't know what you're going to get when you go to a Beck concert.
It was like, fame, another one bites the dust, it's getting hot in here. Fame.
Beck is playing with Spoon and MGMT, sold out at the Hollywood Bowl this coming Saturday night. I mentioned this not to rub it in because obviously it's sold out, but we are giving away tickets here on KROQ, and you'll have a chance again between 11 and 12 o'clock with Cat Corbett to win those tickets. Beck, always great to catch up with you, man. The time flies by real fast. I mentioned last hour that we've been talking to you on and off for 15 years now on the Kevin and Bean Show, and we always still are excited when we hear you're coming in, so thanks for including us today, man. We appreciate it.
Oh, yeah. No, it's good to be here. Yeah.
We're sorry. You must first dial 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
What it do? What it do, nephew?
Give us a call toll-free, 1-800-520-1067. Get on the air with something interesting, please. And a pair of tickets to the LG World Championships of Freestyle Motocross will be yours. That'll be happening at the LA County Fair on Saturday, September 27th. Plus, we'll throw in a Mountain High season pass valid for the entire upcoming season. All right, let's try Brenda in Van Nuys to get us started. Hey, Brenda, you're on the Kevin and Bean Show. What'd it do?
What'd it do, nephew, baby boo?
What'd it do, Brenda?
Well, for about a year now, I've been trying to plant a garden in my backyard, and I have they're called voles. They're like gophers. Basically, they've been eating my garden. I finally got tired of it.
I apologize. I thought it was a euphemism. I zoned out. We're talking about an actual garden.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
And so basically what they do is they eat the plants from below and pull all the plants underneath the ground.
Ah, the stinking voles.
I've tried traps. I've tried, you know, fencing. I've spent a couple hundred dollars on it.
All right, so but where does this get interesting to us and the KROQ listeners?
Hey, right now. Okay, so last weekend I finally had it. I went and got about 8 35-millimeter canisters, you know, film canisters, packed them with, you know, black powder, put a waterproof fuse in them, taped them up with duct tape.
Wow.
And I stuck them in the holes, okay, one by one. Well, the first couple weren't that bad. But the other few, I don't know if it broke down the dirt or whatever, but my whole garden now is destroyed.
You blew up your garden trying to kill some voles.
Yeah. Needless to say, my boyfriend, he's not real happy about it. Yeah, it's his house.
What part of Florida do you live in, Brenda?
In the 909.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, fair enough.
That explains it. How could I guess?
Well, yep. It's the good part of the 909.
Oh, sure it is.
That's what they all say.
You're lucky you didn't blow up the whole trailer.
Yeah, it's exactly
it.
All right, Brenda, bye-bye now.
Just move your meth lab out into the backyard, and that'll keep the rodents away. Jeez,
I'm trying to kill some voles that are eating my radish patch, so I blowed it up.
Let's go to line 3. Derek is in Brea on
Derek.
The Kevin and Bean Show.
What a day, baby boo.
What's up, Derek?
All right, so I started my, I'm a kinesiology student, and I just started my internship yesterday with a college football team.
Okay. Wait, so you're a what kind of student? What kind of student?
Kinesiology.
I don't know what that
the
is.
The study of movement, Bean. Yeah. Physical
study
movement.
Study of movement.
Yeah. Oh, I don't approve of that. Okay, go ahead.
So I decided what better way to start my first day than to be completely stoned.
Sure.
So I go into football practice, and I'm sitting there, and right when I get there, this kid completely shatters his ankle and dislocates his whole foot and ankle right in front of me. And I'm sitting there stoned, didn't know what to do, and the coach is telling me to keep him calm, so I'm just sitting there telling him, oh, looks good, dog, looks good, and his ankle is completely sideways, and I'm sitting there stoned out of my mind. And
yeah, you're not the go-to guy for a medical emergency, I guess.
I guess you're probably right about that one. And for the record, there is no good part of the 909.
That's true. That's what we've been saying, exactly, yeah. Thanks for the call, dude. Appreciate it. Let's try Alexis, celebrity sighting in Burbank. Alexis is on line 4 and joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Alexis, what'd it do?
Hi, what'd it do? What'd it do, Lisa May?
What'd it do, Alexis?
Well, I'm a waitress at a strip club.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And the other weekend, I was serving a booth, which is a really nice booth. And these people, they looked over and they asked me, they go, that looks like Corey Feldman. And I was like, oh, the Goonies, the real life. He's probably not him. And so I had my manager ask him, and it was Corey Feldman. And let me tell you, the whole night he didn't spend any money. He didn't buy a drink, and he didn't throw money at the dancers. He was just sitting in the back with a hat on and staring, soaking it all in. And I was
he by himself?
No, he was with a girl. I'm thinking it's his wife or something, but
probably, yeah.
That's
unacceptable.
Talking.
Unacceptable at a strip club.
I hate cheap people at strip clubs.
They didn't
have drinks?
Nope, he didn't. He had one glass of water and did not tip me.
Oh. Now, wow. I didn't think that was even allowed at a strip club. I thought there was some sort of a drink minimum at most places, isn't there?
I don't know.
Not at this particular club, obviously.
Yeah, I guess not. Hey,
look, if you don't have the money to do it right at a strip club, just don't freaking go.
Right.
Rent a porn movie.
Yeah.
Hey, you're a waitress in a strip club. Would you make tons more money if you were stripping instead?
Yeah, I would, but I am not. Maybe in a year, so maybe I could do it for Psycho Mike. I would dance for him.
All right.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I got roped into this somehow. Well,
you have horrible judgment on every level.
Come on in. That's come great. On over, Alexis.
All right. Thank you for the call. One more is Raymond in Van Nuys. He's on line 7. You know, it's been almost 45 minutes since we talked about Megan Fox on the Kevin and Bean Show, which I think is an unacceptable amount of time to go without an update. Raymond, what's up?
Hey, I was online, searching for Megan Fox pictures, and I typed in Google Megan Fox, and it took me to this website called pichunters.com, and it shows, I don't know if it's Photoshop, but it shows her on a river with a bunch of guys covering up with the little tiny bikini where you can see almost her whole top, and she comes out of the lake naked.
Yeah, I think that's her filming her movie Jennifer's Body. That's scenes from the set.
We've seen that.
Really?
Yeah.
And she's covered up. I mean, she's wearing some sort of a see-through like cloth or something.
Pasties. Yeah, they're moleskins like they put over the nipples and the genitals when they're shooting movies, so there isn't total nudity. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But I mean, it's not bad. Believe me. I mean, it's fine. It's worth seeking out. It's just not the nakedness we expect to see soon any day now.
Well, hopefully we do.
Yeah. All right, dude. Thank you very much for the call. And by the way, the GQ issue that we've been talking about the last couple of days is out on newsstands today. And we've already gone through one copy here at K-Rock. We already had to send Dave out to get a second copy because we used up the first one. So.
Will you stop ruining everything with being you?
I'm just saying wear and tear on the issue from passing it around the office. Yeah. That's all I'm saying. I don't know what you're thinking. Jesus.
Carry on. What's Tammy Heidi got coming up?
Before we get to that, I want to thank Beck for stopping by. Again, the new album is called Modern Guilt. In stores are available for download now, and a sold out show at the Hollywood Bowl this coming Saturday night. You can win your tickets with Tammy Heidi coming up next with 40 minutes nonstop. But tomorrow morning on an all new Kevin and Bean Show, near death experiences is one of the topics that we're going to be talking about.
A lot of people have had them. I think
I had one during your interview with Beck.
Also, we'll talk to the young lady who voluntarily had sex with and filmed sex with Mini Me. So,
come on.
That is also a near death experience.
Yes.
How is that decision made? I don't know. If you haven't heard it yet, there is a new minister, a reverend at a church in New York City, a black minister who is very, very, very much on board with John McCain and very, very, very against Barack Obama.
Yeah, it's spectacular.
Wait till you hear the reason why he's against Barack Obama. We've got that tape for you tomorrow. And an instant request I won't tell you about now, but believe me, you want to be listening at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning because it's definitely a great idea and it's going to be worth it. Slightly Stupid's 2 a.m. is part of 40 Minutes Nonstop K-Rock next. Also, The Killers. We've got new Metallica, Offspring, and more right after this.